Welcome back. Episode 12 of the Grapes and Gorak show. It's week six.
It's going on week six. End of week five right here. We're watching.
Yes, the end of week five.
We got Redskins, Saints.
Monday Night Football.
I've already seen a nice missed kick. You know, every game's got a missed field goal in it.
Everyone's missing kicks. You know, that's what I'm saying. So we kickers are a waste of a roster spot.
Yeah, we'll get to your...
We don't we'll need them. Don't need them.
We need nothing more than a kicker. So yeah, we're end of week five. Vikings are coming off a win now.
Yes. Two and one now. We beat Philadelphia.
2-1.
2-2-1.
Oh, 2-2-1. Yeah, yeah. We first win since week one.
Yeah, that's
feels weird to say that.
It does. I didn't even think about that.
And we should easily be 3-1. I mean, if Daniel Carlson makes that. So like, for all the... Seemed like there was a bit of a panic.
True.
Some people, I mean, you're always going to find anything on Twitter, but people calling for Zimmer to be on the hot seat.
But that's the weird thing. There were a lot of people saying that.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what are you talking about? Oh, you lost to the Bills loss was bad.
Yes.
But you lost to the Rams on the road, and it was not like you got beat. Your defense played like crap, but you played with them.
In the three toughest games that we knew were the at Rams, at Packers, at Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Maybe at Patriots is in there, but...
I'm just talking in the first 5 weeks because we were always talking about how tough the schedule is. We came out of it 500.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're a missed kick away from being 3-1 coming out of it. Or wait, 3-2.
3-2.
3-2. 3-2. Yeah, I've said that wrong earlier. So yeah, 3-2. But we're 2-2-1. What is that, a half game back in the division? How does that tie work?
I think we're a half game back because
Well, it's Chicago's, all messed up because the Bears are on a bye too. So
yeah, Chicago's 3-1, and I think relatively, I think we're a full game back because I think you treat that as we're 2-2. And the Bears will be 3-1. I think
we played the Bears twice. So I mean, the whole NFC North is just all cramped up.
The tiebreaker game against the Packers in Minnesota.
Yep.
And the Packers don't look very good, so I'm not too worried about our stance in the division right now, especially after coming out of the hardest stretch of our schedule, 500.
Yeah, now it eases up now. What is it, Cardinals next week?
Cardinals next week. I'm not sure who we play after that.
Another mediocre team, I'm pretty sure, after that, because then it goes, I think the Saints then come up. I'll take a look.
Yeah, we don't play the Dolphins till later, I don't think. I think that one's
That's later. More towards the Patriots, yeah. Jets.
The Jets.
Cardinals, Jets, then it's the Saints.
Home against Cardinals at New York. Jets,
yep. Okay. And then home against the Saints.
Okay. So the next three games, go 2-1.
Get to the Saints game and be 4-2-1. Win the next two games. Figure out what happens in that Saints game, you know, whatever.
And then hopefully the Saints are getting hot with getting Ingram back.
Yeah, Ingram already had a nice play.
Yeah.
So. But should we maybe talk a little Philly about how what our thoughts were on the game?
It was really nice to come out of Philadelphia with a win.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was a little nerve-wracking, a little
didn't
scary.
Need to be. I don't.
No, it shouldn't have been.
20-3. Like this reminded me a little of the 49er game. Like, I wish we could have put it away. We kind of did with the when Bailey hit the field goal, but should have been put away a lot earlier than that, I feel like. But I guess it's two halves to a football game, you know.
Yeah.
You get up 23, they start making adjustments, figuring stuff out.
But we played really well. Our defense.
Much better.
A lot better.
It looked like I don't know if we mixed it up a ton, but definitely a little more early down blitzing and stuff like that where it wasn't. We had a lot of rush with just our four guys. But we did bring some different looks where I feel like in the Ram game we were pretty vanilla with our... I look back at the Ram game and a lot of it is because we never got to third down. Like, that's when Zimmer likes to go crazy. Like, he likes to first, second down, keep it kind of normal, and then all of a sudden do some double A, crazy stuff on third down. Problem is they just kept scoring on the first two downs.
That's the thing with the that one stat we saw with the Rams where they don't get into... They just don't get into three and outs or third down situations.
They go for first downs on first down. They go for a first down on second down. They don't do the whole, you know, get to third and manageable so you can keep moving the chains. The guy's just constantly drawing up plays that get huge chunks. So we never get to do our, you know, our good, interesting play blitzes, you know, different schemes that we do because That's because Zimmer's always been kind of a third down.
We're looking to do it on the final, though. We're looking to end the drive, you know, on third down, you know, traditional football. Where
McVay's like, I'm just going to skip that whole part and just not even get to third down. And it worked out well.
You might just want to start coming after me on first down or second down because we're not getting to third down.
We know what you're going to do on first and second, so let's make our move there. Where it felt like we brought some different stuff to Wentz on first and second down and mixed it up a bit, which is good to see because we... I don't know, played a lot better.
Well, with Wentz coming off that knee surgery, he's more vulnerable. Like, you have to attack him. The sooner you get to Carson Wentz, the Eagles aren't going to get anywhere.
And you probably don't respect their weapons nearly as much as the Rams. The Rams have three real good. Like, Alshon Jeffrey's good. Other than that...
Yeah, Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is very good, but he...
The running backs, I know Ajayi went on... IR.
Injured reserve towards ACL. He didn't even play in our game, did he? I don't remember seeing him at all.
Yeah, he fumbled.
He fumbled. Okay, he did play. That's right. I just feel like he must have got hurt in our game and they didn't really make a big deal about it.
I saw him leave, but yeah, you're right. I don't think.
I mean, they didn't mention Riley Reiff getting hurt for quarters.
Yeah, all of a sudden,
Rashad Hill's in there and O'Neal's in there. And Ben's like, what, is he playing guard? I'm like, no, he's playing left tackle. Like,
I saw that. I was like, why is Rashad Hill playing left
tackle? And then they didn't mention it, so I'm like, you know what? They benched Riley Reiff, just like Ryan said. But then I was like, you know what? No, Ryan can't be right about that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I thought for sure I was right. I was like, no way.
They're not bringing in a rookie, but they wouldn't mention anything. So just as a quick aside with the announcing. I don't know if you noticed, Troy Aikman, he's like obsessed with Laquan Treadwell's socks. Oh. He brought it up like four times. Oh, he's the only guy that wears all white socks. One, Stephon Diggs is right across from him wearing all white socks. And why are you bringing this up so much? Like, he kept ragging on him, you know, because he's been pretty bad for his first few years. But like, oh, yeah, he's had a rough start to the season, some drops. And he's the only guy on the team that wears all white socks. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's an analyst. He's analyzing.
I think one too many concussions for old Troy Aikman. I don't know why he's bringing up so
well, that is
shit.
Why he retired.
That play where Diggs came across the middle and he got down like the one.
Yeah.
He's running so fast I couldn't tell who it was, but I see the all-white socks. I'm like, Treadwell, what a play. Oh, no, that's Diggs making that play. I'm like, you know what, Aikman? Fucking moron.
Yeah, that was right after the Thielen 68-yard
touchdown. Oh, that was a good play. But I don't know. These announcers, they bug me sometimes.
I'm usually a fan of Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. They don't annoy me as much as people claim.
I wish they would have gave us information quicker. Like, how do they not mention that our left tackle is out sooner? And that might be their little sideline reporter person. Like, not telling them. Maybe they did and I missed it. I
didn't catch it. I really didn't.
It was quite a while that I was like, why is Rashad Hill in every play? What is going on? And then you just assume he's hurt, but so I don't know.
But we talked about, you mentioned Brian O'Neal came in on the right side. He played pretty well.
Third time he's had to come in. I think the first two were because of Rashad Hill got hurt. This is the first time that it's been the other reason. But I think he graded out pretty mediocre on Pro Football Focus, but no horrible plays. Like, if you get pushed back a little bit,
I feel like he held his own against Brandon Graham a lot better than Rashad.
Rashad Hill got beat once really bad. Yep. But then Rashad Hill went to the left side, and I feel like he held his own.
True.
I know we give up a lot of pressures.
Maybe Rashad Hill's a better left tackle than he is right tackle.
He played left at the end of the Bradford year. That's where we picked him up off the Jags practice squad, I think, and we started him a few games. He played well, and they liked him. But
See? Maybe it's a natural
position.
It just seems like they
give up a little pressure, but Cousins gets it out so quick, and just like he's so good at like avoiding it that it just hasn't really hurt us at all. I don't know. Well, the Bills game hurt us.
Yeah.
Other than that, and then like the strip sack and the Rams game really hurt us. But so many times there'll be a guy in his face, and he just gets rid of it, and it's like, okay, well, just hold your guy for a few seconds.
Both those situations you mentioned was Riley Reiff.
He's hurt. He's playing hurt. He's playing with a.
Well, maybe he shouldn't because he's been bad.
I think overall he was good in the Rams game. If you want Rashad Hill as your left tackle, you can have it. Let's see.
Oh, I don't want it. I don't want it to happen. I mean, I do want to be right, but I don't want it.
That
to
really
happen.
Matters more than, you know, Kirk Cousins' health as he's getting blindsided because Rashad Hill's your left tackle.
Well, he hasn't been blindsided yet because of it.
That's just true. Who was the I guess that would be the right end for the Eagles. Because Brandon Graham mostly plays on the other side, right? Against, like, the right tackle.
Derek Barnett.
But he was out. So then I guess Michael Bennett plays on the inside, right?
No, Michael Bennett is the other end.
Oh, so yeah. It's those two guys? Oh, yep. That's right, because
I forgot about Michael Bennett.
Okay, so didn't he come around Rashad Hill and get that bogus penalty?
I have no idea. Yes.
Okay.
No, but that was... he came
that
around
was
David,
Rudolph. That was Rudolph.
David Morgan.
I feel like it was Rudolph.
Coming around on a tight end, not Rashad Hill.
That always seems to happen. It's like, okay, we'll line up our tight end like way out there to try to just make him go all the way around, and the tight ends just get beat so fast. I remember in the Cowboy-Viking game in 2009 in the divisional playoffs, the Cowboys tried that against Jared Allen, where they put Witten way out there, and Allen just like, it was like he ran by him like he wasn't even standing there. Like, that's what these tight ends just can't block. That's why it makes me think that it was...
On that play, David Morgan or Kyle Rudolph, whoever it was, when he's that low to the ground, you just sit on him. Just sit on him. Don't.
What did you think of the penalty? You think that was a penalty?
I don't.
I think that's a bad call. I feel like I get where the ref is going with it. Like, you can't dive around the feet. It's like the Brady rule. But he hit him like in the thighs.
He hit him in the waist, like waist area first, and then he slid down. I feel like because he was being blocked.
Because
he was being blocked. I don't think he was blocked into Cousins, but I think he slid down. The reason why he ended up hitting him low.
For one. I feel like he was trying to get there as quick as he could. So, leaving his feet was his only option. And he hit him in the thighs and then slid down his body. And then, it just made it look really bad because Cousins just sort of, flipped over him really slowly. Like, not a rough hit at all. Like, a gentle tackle. And then all of a sudden the flag's in there. It was Kyle Rudolph.
It was Rudolph?
Yep. And he's just matched up one-on-one on him. They bring a corner blitz who Latavius Murray comes and picks up in the, in between Rashad Hill and Rudolph.
Okay.
So it's just, it's literally just Rudolph one-on-one with Michael Bennett.
Where's Rashad Hill? Where's our left tackle? Is he
our left tackle
inside?
Is crashing in on Fletcher Cox. It's, someone messed up the production here. It's because it's our left guard, right guard, and center are all blocking one guy.
Oof.
And that left Rudolph on an island against the DN, and Murray picks up the blitzing corner. So I guess what would be the best way to actually do that? You'd want to slide the other way, probably.
Yeah.
Have Murray go to the right, Rudolph and the tackle. I mean, you're still kind of... How do you not get Bennett to be one-on-one with Rudolph? Murray doubles him. That would be what you would do.
Yeah, and
Rashad Hill takes the corner, blitzing, and Murray and Rudolph double Michael Bennett. I just don't know how else he would slide that. Hill can't slide all the way out there. They're doing that Y9 crap where he's like way, way out there. So I think you would want someone to... I mean, I guess they do that all game, though, when you find a way to do it. Someone messed up there because you had our three interior linemen are not blocking anyone, but...
Our left guard should have helped with Fletcher Cox, I feel like.
He does. They all do it. The left guard, center, and left tackle all block
Fletcher
Cox.
Oh, okay.
I said right guard earlier. I didn't mean that yet.
Right on.
So, the whole left side plus upline block Fletcher Cox.
That's not good.
And then, I mean, Hill blocks him for a second and then looks around for someone to block, and there's no one there.
All of a sudden, he's like, wait a second.
He's like, huh, I wonder who I should go block. And then he looks up and goes, oh, hey.
Well, that's a bad play. That's not good.
Rashad Hill's one of the first ones that turns around and sees the flag, and he's like, oh, flag on the ground.
Thank God.
I just like it when it happens to Eagle fans, though, you know? I'm glad that call happened.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear the boos coming down on their own team early on? I like that.
That was
nice.
Outrageous. I could not believe
they
it.
They did that week one, so I'm not surprised.
It's just weird how early and often they attack you.
If the Vikings won a Super Bowl, how long? I've actually never booed us, though.
We did get booed against Buffalo.
Yeah, but have you ever booed us?
No.
I don't think I've ever actually booed our own team.
No.
I might boo a coach. If they're doing something stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever booed. I can't remember. I mean, maybe Troy Williamson needs to be booed. I don't know.
Well, yeah, single players on plays, yeah, but not a whole team.
As they're leaving, going into the tunnel.
Not on a third down where the other team gets a third down conversion.
You just start booing.
Unless there's a blown call or something like that.
Well, yeah, then you're booing the ref.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever doing that. And then I can't imagine how long it would take for me to even, be mad after winning a Super Bowl. And they shouldn't be greedy. They've only won. It's their first one ever. So you'd think they'd just be like, oh, who cares? We won a Super Bowl last year.
You waited 60 years or whatever, and all of a sudden you're feeling entitled.
Yeah, I just
you're entitled to have a great product.
I don't
in front
think
of
that
you.
Team or that fan base could handle winning that Super Bowl because they are falling
your team's
apart.
All banged up. Jay Ajayi, your running back, was playing with some fractured vertebrae or something in his back. And then he tore his ACL.
That's the same injury that Thielen had at the end of last season. That weird transverse, whatever it was. Yeah, and then he tears his... Well, it's like it's week
five.
Five, maybe just sit the guy. You know, this isn't the playoffs.
Yeah. They're maybe 2-3 now in the NFC East.
Sounds like they're rumored to be in the Le'Veon Bell hunt, though.
I saw it.
That would be...
That. I wouldn't like that.
No, that would be awful.
I get it would only be for a year, but I hate Philadelphia.
And
I
don't want to hate... That would add like a big dimension to their team.
I don't want to hate Le'Veon Bell. I don't want to hate him. But I will if I have to.
Yeah, but you're a big Carson Wentz fan, too.
I can't stand Carson Wentz. I don't think he's good.
Well, you're... From what I could tell, I didn't see much good out of him. Nick Foles looked a lot better.
Fact. From the two games I saw against the Vikings in a span of...
Three seasons, in a span of 10 months. Well, no, go all the way back to the rookie season of Wentz. Dude looked terrible.
That's true. I saw the Eagles play Carson Wentz, and I saw the Eagles or the Vikings play Wentz, and I saw them play Foles. Foles, 38-7. Carson Wentz lost. Well, we played a terrible game against them with Bradford.
Yeah, we were 5-0 going in to play them. And then it was like, interception. It was like, what is happening here?
Why? Yeah, the first quarter, there were like five turnovers.
Yeah,
back
and it was
forth.
Like back-to-back. It was so bad. Should we kind of jump into our...
Our stars?
Stars and not-so-stars.
Yeah.
You want to start us off?
Yeah. First lone star.
The lone star? What's a lone star?
Well, you know, because he's the number one. It's the first star.
He's the first lone star. Okay. The first lone star. We're going to name our stars. I'm going to name my stars.
Mike Hughes.
Mike Hughes. I thought he played well.
I thought he played very well. Now
people are going to be like, oh, but he gave up that long play to Shelton Gibson.
I'm talking overall.
Overall.
Picture.
And that was pretty good coverage. Maybe could have got his head around quicker to like locate the ball better. But even Zimmer after the game was like, he was in the right spot. The ball was kind of underthrown, which worked against him. Because then, like, the receiver sees it first. He's got to, like, I mean, he got his hand in there, tried to make a good play.
Jumping over him, stretched out. I thought Mike Hughes played pretty well.
Yeah, and did, I don't remember any other big plays going to him. And he played outside corner the whole game because Trey Waynes has been out. So.
Yes. I liked it. I liked him playing outside. I remember Zimmer saying he's more confident playing outside, and it showed.
He liked that he's talking about how he got to practice all week at one position. And he says, like, outside, while you usually have, like, a tougher opponent, it's easier to play because you have the sideline next to you. Like, a lot of times there's so many different things someone can do in the slot. They can go, you know, there's so much more space.
Yeah.
Where, so it's a little bit easier against a lot of times a harder opponent. But.
And you're not going in motion. Like, there's a lot of, like,
just a lot less you have to deal with, I feel like.
True, because that when you're, your receiver goes in motion. If you're playing zone, everyone's job changes.
Yeah, they're shifting around. They're making adjustments. You're just still like doing whatever you were doing on the edge. Good thing we have him because a lot of people didn't like the pick that much, but he's had to play. This is the second game in a row he basically played a full game because Wayne's got hurt last week on the big play to Cooks, right?
Yeah, it was pretty early. Maybe second quarter.
I think second
like
quarter. So he's played and he. He had to play early on a lot. I think Waynes has been out in and out of the lineup quite a bit, I feel like. So,
and the first week he played nickel the entire game because Mac was hurt.
Yeah, that's right. So he's played a lot. What do you think of his return ability? Like, you think it's been...
It is what it is.
Sherrills has been out, so he's been back there a bit. I think pretty much all the punts. Thielen did the last punt.
I think he bobbled one. Was that last week?
Last week he bobbled one and got back on it, but he hasn't done too much with it. I was kind of hoping to see a little more out of him at a returning, but
he's not as explosive as I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just worried about securing the ball right now. I'm not sure.
Probably good.
Yeah.
I prefer that. But nothing on kick returns either. Seems like Holden Hill's the one back there all the time.
Faster. And it's...
Also, you don't want to lose another corner, too. Maybe that's part of it.
That's probably a lot of it.
Risk to lose. He was on a...
Which is now you're starting outside. You're starting second corner. Mm-hmm.
So if you lose him, now you're down to Mac. Now you have no slot corner. I know they play J-Ron a lot in there, too, the J-Ron curse.
That's just for a big...
Going big nickel or whatever you're doing there. My first shining star will be Stephen Weatherly.
Weatherly, I like it.
Before the game, I remember me and Ben were talking, and I was like, I don't know, it's Stephen Weatherly. I don't know if he's that good. And then I thought he like played awesome in this game. He's the one that caused the ball to be, well, he caused a fumble that Joseph caught and ran for a touchdown.
Yep.
He had a couple other plays where I feel like he was real close to getting in there causing sacks. He's got this like inside move that none of our DNs do that much.
I saw that. I noticed that. I think it was on the Linval
play. On the Linval play, yeah. It's like he gets, because I think he had gotten around Lane Johnson, who's a really good right tackle, a couple times. And then all of a sudden, it's like the guy widens too much and leaves a little gap in between there. And he just shoots through it.
It was the little same
swim move kind of thing.
It looked like the same move Danielle Hunter used.
Mm. They mentioned it on the broadcast where, because they were saying that Zimmer was, if Danielle Hunter can learn how to have an inside move, he'd be unstoppable. And then he did an inside move.
And I believe he got a sack. Yeah. He got in the backfield.
Sack was, I think it's the one where he got the sack. And he gets through and then Wentz starts running and he just like stops for a second and then just, Danielle Hunter can close so fast. All of a sudden he's just right on his back and then he's swatting at the ball. Like, yep. How's Wentz even hold on to the ball?
Yeah, because the ball's like away from Wentz's body and he's like running his hand around, yeah, like down his arm trying to get it.
Trying to find it. Thought he's been awesome. Sure. Hunter's been really good. He's like almost a sack in every game now. Is he close to that? I feel like he's.
I feel like it.
One, man, he gets.
He might
there
be
was
like a
so
sack
many
shy.
Times where I'm just like, oh, he's about to get the strip sack. You know, the. There was multiple times where it's like, you know, if someone was open, Carson Wentz cocks that ball back and he strips it, but nobody's open because we're playing coverage.
Feel, and
so he pulls
pressure.
It down and then he runs away. It's like, you know, kind of get fucked on that. Like if you're almost like, if someone would have been open, he just get stripped and fumbled it. But yeah, Hunter was close on a bunch. And I just, Weatherly, for as much as we were missing Everson Griffin last week, I thought Weatherly stepped up this game and actually made us, I don't know, miss him less. Because we're going to really need someone.
Yeah, and his snap, he's played more snaps the last
yeah,
three
I think
games.
This week was 90%, like over 90.
I saw that.
And he's still got to play special teams a bit. Danielle Hunter played a little special teams, so like these guys aren't getting a break, but Zimmer was like, tell him to suck it up. I'm sure Weatherly loves it. He sat and waited, like getting groomed for 4 years, I think, 3-4 years. I mean,
yeah, and he's gotten better every game too. Mm-hmm. I think he's conditioning more. He's getting more conditioned for game.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to be build up to that. Like, to go from basically never playing to then it's like,
almost
now you're at 90%.
Near every snap.
Yeah. Well, so, when we get Griffin back, if we get Griffin back, hopefully, you know, he's still working through his thing. But now maybe you have a little rotation that you're more comfortable with. Because I feel like to start the year, it was kind of being like forced. Like, oh, yeah, throw him in there. We'll see. And it's kind of like, kind of like Griffin and Hunter in there instead. But now I kind of, you know, got a little more confidence in Weatherly to actually...
Yeah,
I think he has more confidence.
Keep everyone fresh.
Yeah,
so, it's a nice sad rotation. I know the Eagles used a bunch for it last.
And that's why I think it kind of got like kind of got hip to do. Like, you know, it was like, oh yeah, we're gonna bring in Bauer, and a lot of people were talking about Bauer being the guy that we'd rotate in there more. But he was, I think he was hurt this week. But it's been Weatherly.
Yeah,
much.
I believe Bauer was hurt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't know. I like Weatherly. Always have. So it's well, nice to see him play a bunch.
They said that, I think it might have been a year, even maybe 2 years ago, that the Patriots were trying to pull him off our practice squad.
Oh, really?
And then I think we either gave him a raise or we moved him to active roster. So yeah, they were, and I was like, Weatherly, really? Like, I'm like a seventh round pick that's never done anything. So teams must know that he's like, you know, someone got some talent. Just another guy that our D-line coach has like developed. I mean,
yeah, there's always been talent coming through.
Yeah, our D-line is like...
Shamar Stephan.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson got better.
Danielle Hunter was a third-round raw talent. Everson Griffin was a fourth-round pick. You know, none of these guys besides, I guess, you know... Well, even Linval.
Well, and Linval's... We gave him a pretty decent contract,
decent, but definitely wasn't like, here, you're getting one of the best nose tackles in the league. It was like, oh, here's this pretty good starter. You know,
yeah.
He's became
and now he's
like a beast.
Awesome.
Yeah,
arguably so, one of the best nose
the
tackles.
Only top pick we have on our line is Sheldon Richardson, and that's not even our pick, right?
True.
Because Griffin's a fourth, Daniel's a third.
Linval,
I don't know what round
he was.
I think
he was a third or fourth.
Somewhere in
pick.
The middle there. Obviously, he wasn't our guy, so I'm just...
Yeah, he was from the Giants, right?
He's been pretty good at developing. There goes Michael Thomas. Well, that's my guy.
That's your guy? Oh, wow. But he's tough.
He's a good player. Good quality ball player. All right, so that's I got Weatherly. You said someone that I already forgot about. He was a lone star though. The lone
Mike
star.
Hughes.
Mike Hughes, the lone star kid. Okay.
Star number two, gonna go with Adam Thielen.
I also have Thielen. We talked about maybe not going with some of these like obvious guys, but Thielen's
just
that dude
Thielen.
Is a monster. You kidding me?
Fifth straight game over 100 yards. You can't keep him off the list. I wanted to go elsewhere, but it
that's too good of a game. Like, he was awesome. They did that. That touchdown was like similar to Diggs' two-pointer from the Packer game. Yeah. The little like slant, stutter, and go. Only they did like a play action kind of thing to it. But what a catch! Like, the dude's hand is the DB. First, he holds him.
Yep.
Doesn't face Thielen. Then the guy's hand's like right up there in his face. He's got to think about catching the ball, getting 2 feet down while getting held, while this dude's batting at the ball, and he just, it's so smooth. Just caught it. Like, it was like nothing to him.
Yeah. It was awesome. Thielen's so good.
Did you know that he didn't get drafted?
No. Did you know that he went to Mankato?
Unreal.
Minnesota State?
He's from Minnesota?
Yep.
Holy hometown
kid.
Yep. I didn't know that. They never mention it. That's unreal that they haven't unearthed that.
Detroit Lakes,
that
local kid.
He was. I heard that he was just a tryout guy, not even signed. He got just a mini camp.
Yeah, he was selling dental equipment or something like that.
Oh, wow. This is crazy. What they should do, the media should pick this story up. It's a pretty good story. They could really run that into the ground if they wanted to.
I don't understand how it's not national news. I don't understand why analysts refuse to let us know that. It's like, it's like people ignoring that Jimmy Graham used to play basketball.
Yeah, they always do that. It's so weird.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
They never bring it up. Never bring it up. Or Laquan Treadwell with white Sox. You know, it's like no one knows that.
No, nobody can tell that.
No one can see that. Thielen. I've been listening to some podcasts and stuff, and like people are now saying like one of the best receivers. Like they were Hopkins one. Brown won, like, battling for first, but then, like, the other guy's just like, well, Adam Thielen. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Adam Thielen. Like,
I saw a list that this might just some guy being hip, but it was Hopkins, Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's ridiculous. Absolutely yep. stupid.
They had him
Antonio
over Brown.
Definitely better than Juju Smith-Schuster.
No. That was the list.
Well, maybe for, like, this season or something, but how do you not put Thielen in the... The first,
he might be better. I mean, he's better than Diggs, I think. I mean, I like Diggs is really good. I
think part of it though is that Thielen gets that slot role. Diggs played a lot more slot in Shermer's offense, and it's clearly gone the other way where Diggs is almost always on the outside. But
same thing last year though. Thielen, it's the same thing. I don't care if he's playing in the slot or if he's playing outside.
I just think
you get the same result.
You do get the same result. He just gets to like get a ton of catches. Those just short.
It's because he gets open.
He can feel those. He makes his zone so good where he just turns around and they kind of just shuffles to one side or the other.
His
what was
feet,
that?
His hips, everything.
This was his pace stats. So like if he keeps this up, who posted it?
Oh yes, and he's about to break everything.
It was he is on pace for 150 catches.
Yep.
1,885 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yep. Did you? And that's.
I think 150 catches is reasonable. The guy catch.
That would be that's getting close to the record. That would break the record. Marvin Harrison's 144.
Yeah.
For catches. That would be like 100 yards shy of Calvin Johnson's 1,900 mm-hmm. yards.
And then the 9 touchdowns is whatever.
If he keeps that. I mean, the volume's there for him to get a bunch more touchdowns.
I want to see the All-22 film of the bomb play where Cousins threw it from the end zone and he burns Jalen Mills. Because I just want to see if he shouldn't have cut back. Because he cuts into the middle of the field. And then I feel like he should have scored somehow there. Like, I don't know what. Maybe not. He ends up actually juking that guy. But then Jalen Mills catches him. Like, and it's kind of at the same time. But he like does a little juke spin. But he had Treadwell and Diggs coming from the other way. I just want to see like how that looked.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he was just
because the All-22 open field doesn't come out until like
no,
5 o'clock
I couldn't
or
find
whatever.
It. Yeah, I was looking at it when I was at work to see if it came out to see that play. I wanted to see.
I think it's at like 5 or either like 4 or later.
Oh,
is
that
it
what
comes
it is?
Out. Yeah.
Okay. Because just sometimes the players always look to cut back. Where I'm like, I wonder if they just kept running if they would have like been okay. So.
Either way, he would have had to make a move to make at least one more guy.
I think so. Yeah. So, but that play was awesome. And then Jalen Mills talks shit like 3 plays later.
Oh,
like we had the third and I think it was second and goal to Treadwell. It was batted down, and then third and goal to Thielen, and he hits him maybe early, kind of close, and then he talks shit. It's like
Fletcher Cox has to come after him.
Yeah, it's like Are you kidding me? You're the same guy I just double moved and burned you for like 65 yards. Are you an idiot?
I don't know if Fletcher Cox either points to the scoreboard or if he was like pointing to like the spot on the field. Like, dude, you just got your ass kicked right there. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That's pretty embarrassing for that dude to be talking to you and have your own teammate come and basically just shove you backwards and be like, dude, sit down. You're
dude.
It was 20-3 at that time, I think. Or
I think you're right. I think the field goal made it 20-3.
So it was 17-3 still?
Yes.
Because they went all the way down the field, and that's when they fumbled, when Ajayi just drops the ball.
Yeah,
that which was bizarre.
Maybe he tore his ACL on that play.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I saw him after that, honestly. I honestly don't think I saw him after that.
Maybe they benched him because of that, but apparently.
But Thielen, awesome. Loved it. Who,
I want to make sure I put the thing in here.
I watched you
do it. You saw me do it? Okay.
I assume something would pop up. We're worried that I didn't put the cartridge in the
I swear I saw you guys.
I don't have it, so we're just going to continue to talk and hope that it's in there.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to check.
No, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
When we take a break, we'll
this will be a lost podcast otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take a break before we do the Lions. But let's get to, that was your second star, but then I also did that, so back to you.
Back to me. Don't really have a...
I'm going to just say Kirk Cousins again, because
can we roll with Kirk Cousins?
We have to roll with Kirk Cousins.
That's the one that pops up.
This guy, every week, he's better than I ever thought he could be.
He's worth every dollar.
Is Rennie right?
Well, no, because he liked Case Keenum. He just rolled with the hype.
That's true, yeah.
He just rolled with the hype, whoever was doing good at
but
the time.
But I mean, like, can Teddy... Teddy's different, but like, man, Kirk Cousins is really good.
Yeah.
Teddy's like more of like a pocket presence, like kind of like rolling, but like Cousins is just throwing daggers.
If you're asking me right now, is Kirk Cousins better than Teddy Bridgewater? Yes.
Right. But that was always kind of like the thing. But the other thing was like, well, he's like 6 years younger or 6-7 years younger. So like,
I think Teddy Bridgewater may.
The guy's a hero.
Yeah, he is. But Kirk Cousins, man, I don't know where we'd be without the
some
man.
Of the
where,
throws
where the
oh. With the pressure in his face. I didn't know he had that.
Me neither. Both Thielen plays that the one yesterday. With Cox in his face in the end zone, and the Packers won the Thielen.
Oh yeah, where he got hit. But even like the quick pressure ones, where we did that play where it was a fake screen to Diggs, and then he was supposed to flip it, and I think throw to Rock Thomas, and there's immediately two people directly in his face, and he just sort of like sidesteps and throws it to Thielen underneath.
Yeah,
it was like holy fuck, that was like it reminded me of the Favre. Favre did a lot of that, like, pump fake, and the guy would jump. He did it to Chris Long. Cousins did yesterday, too, on another play, where some sort of instant pressure where the guy didn't bite on the play fake at all, and he did, like, just a little shoulder move, and Chris Long jumped. Okay. And then he just sidesteps and throws it down below. And just, so many quarterbacks right there just curl up in a ball, like, oh, shit, like, just don't fumble or don't, you know, make a bad move, and he like doesn't give up on the play, and it's worked really well.
It reminded me of the play, I think it was against San Francisco, where he found David Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. Where it looks like he's not even supposed to be.
You know, I've seen that.
I've
seen that kind of a lot this year. I wonder if that's just
a new wrinkle people are adding to that play, that like boot play, or
not people, just us.
Like
just.
Like something in DeFilippo's offense.
Yeah, I'm saying like I've seen that a lot, like in our offense, like
yeah,
where there's always a guy kind of sitting there underneath on those third and short plays or
that,
just
yeah,
short yard situations.
Because one of those was third and one. I think the Thielen one where he runs they do a fake and there's just two guys directly. No, they didn't run a fake. They ran that fake screen to Diggs, and then he flips back and it looks like Rock Thomas is going to block and he immediately runs away. But the two linemen just charging Cousins and it's like, oh my God, this play's fucked.
Yep.
And then he just finds Cousins or.
Thielen
right there, and it's like, what? I didn't even.
Usually, it's David Morgan. I feel like
it's like a quick outlet. I think he did it once to CJ Ham. I feel like too, or not this week, but it was another week where like it looks like the whole play is broken, and then all of a sudden,
I think that was against Buffalo, the CJ Ham play.
Oh, I think it was, yeah, because CJ Ham had a couple decent plays where just Cousins just and did he have one throw where you were thinking that could be intercepted? That was a bad throw. I don't remember one pass that it was even scary.
Nope. I can think of a lot of the times when I thought of that last year with Case Keenum.
Yeah, was always the thing with Case Keenum. It's like, dude, this guy throws like a bonehead couple plays every, and he has not looked great in Denver.
No, but Kirk Cousins, he's unbelievable. I I did not think he was this good.
I feel like he's really a way stronger arm than he did. I thought this was one of the. He's pretty good at like avoiding pressure, but I thought this game he actually looked decently mobile. Like, really, the other ones he looked pretty stiff, and this, I don't know, he looked good. I just thought all around
a lot more boot plays.
Yeah, we're getting him moving the pocket around a little bit.
I think that's kind of maybe when he's. Play design is to stay in the pocket.
Then he
that's
kind of
what he is. He's like, I'm going to stay in the pocket.
You kind of like, because you don't want to do that, like the ponder thing where you just start rolling out because you don't know where to throw.
And that's kind of what he did in Washington, because everyone's talking, oh, you know, Kirk Cousins, a lot of rushing touchdowns. He's more mobile than you'd think. Yeah. But we haven't seen that. But Jay Gruden runs a lot of, he's a
West
Coast
guy. That's
true.
Yeah, he's moving him around a little more. So maybe we'll see more of that. But I like the quick passes too to start the game, the quick hitters to Diggs, and I think someone posted that Diggs had 0 air yards. Like
in the first half.
And he ended up with, he had 50 receiving yards, but they were all on him just making moves after a bubble screen or whatever it was, you know, and he had the couple run plays to him.
Couple of rounds.
I liked the, and then we go all the way down the field and we don't get any points, but we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. Yeah. That was our third stars, Cousins. Yep. Okay.
Let's take a break.
Make sure we're recording, and...
And I have to go to the bathroom.
All right. Bathroom break for Ryan. Right. He's got this very small bladder.
Well, all right. We're back.
Do you feel better, Ryan?
I feel a lot better.
Poor guy. Couldn't even last us, you know, half hour without needing a bathroom break.
Yeah.
You must be the worst on road trips.
Well, no, actually, I'm not.
I heard Ty Haney's really bad on road trips.
I believe it.
That's, you know, that was the rumor on the way to the Packer game, that Ty had to stop like 20 times, you know.
Oh. So. No, I actually just took a road trip this weekend. Had to drive to Madison and then Duluth and then back to Chaska.
Madison, then to Duluth?
Yeah, I had two weddings. And I only stopped to pee once on each way.
How long is Madison up to Duluth?
5 hours, 4.5 hours.
That's bad then. Yeah.
No, but
Green Bay was what, 4.5?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I spent like 12 hours, just over 12 hours in the car driving. And so, yeah, the thing was like 4 hours on each little segment. It was nice. Only stopped to pee 3 times. That's
impressive.
Stuff.
That's impressive.
Well,
okay,
you know,
I'll give it to you.
You know, that's yeah. You know, anyways, let's get back to the Vikings.
We're going to talk about our 3 not so stars, our 3. You know, you call them a lone star. So I don't know what you could call this guy, but
maybe these should be the lone stars.
These are the what are those, like a dead star? What are those stars that's like they aren't shining anymore? What's called when a star dies?
A supernova?
I don't know. That sounds too cool. These guys can't be supernovas.
I don't know. I'm not a astronomer. I'm not an astronomer. I don't know stars.
So who do you got? Anyone?
Well, yeah, Matt Lyle. Not impressed with him yesterday. And as a whole, I know he started out the season grading out pretty well, but
just seems really up and down with him. Like, what's with the randomly just awful punts?
I have no idea.
Marquette King's available.
Did they
cut him, but with an injury settlement. So I don't know if he's actually hurt or what his deal is, but he hasn't been punting very good either.
Oh, well, is Ryan Quigley available? Because he's really good.
I think he is available.
I don't know why I don't.
They didn't like his punting in the preseason.
Dude just had like one of the best years we've had out of a punter in a long time.
You know,
he was so much better than Jeff Locke. I hated Jeff Locke.
The only thing about the whole Quigley stat of like that he didn't have any touchbacks, it's just like also like how far were his like other punts? Was he getting good hang time? Was he kicking him far? Or was he just really good at not putting in the end zone? I don't know. He is unsigned.
Well,
so, but yeah, my wild disappointment.
Not good.
Which brings me to my first not good player, but this is a coach, Mike Prefer.
Yeah.
Not special teams overall, kind of shitty.
True. They seem to get a lot of pressure on punts and field goals.
Yeah, we've had
a punt block.
Punt block. We had, like you said, a lot of pressure. We've had no good returns, really.
We haven't had a special teams touchdown since, I think it was either December or November of 2016.
And that was that the Cordell Patterson versus the
Cardinals.
Oh, I remember that. I was in Hawaii, so it was November.
Yep. Yeah, over the the end of November.
End of November. December. It would have been end of November. It was around Thanksgiving. Because we were in Hawaii for Thanksgiving. I remember watching that. That's where Rhodes had the pick six too.
True.
But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like punting's been bad. The field goals have been bad. Nothing positive has came from the special teams. They haven't made any plays. They haven't. It just seems like it's been iffy. And the Prefer's in charge of that group. So he needs to get it together. I mean, you probably have one of his guys.
I got Dan Bailey on there, and he's going to take up two spots, one for each kick he missed.
God. Yeah. He hit that 52-yarder, though.
Yeah, he did. Unbelievable.
I feel like he just give him a – I think that's it. I'm real confident that he had to just get past some early on – struggles, and he's just got to get back in the groove of it. He was out of football for a few weeks.
With kickers, unbelievable. Go for it on fourth down in your own territory, and go for two.
What did you think of the what's their coaches? Doug Peterson going for two.
I liked it. I really liked it.
When it was 20-12, 20-12.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he went for two to make it 20-14.
Yes.
So you're all for that.
I like it. So extra point, the extra points aren't automatic anymore.
Well, as we see with dipshit Saints kicker Mason Crosby,
they're not automatic anymore. So,
well, did you hear sort of like what the math is behind it of why it actually makes sense? It's like if you assume it's a 50-50, that's the only part where it kind of falls apart a bit. Like, obviously, if you're a really good offense, it's more than 50-50. If you're really playing, but assume it's a 50-50 play. You either make it or you don't. Well, if you make it on your first two-pointer you try, well, it worked. If you don't, you're still got to score again anyways. They're still down by – they're going to be down by eight. So you're going to go for two again. Now you make it, you're back to even.
Yep.
Back if you miss both, you failed. So if you look at the math, half the time, it's going to be a positive. A quarter of the time, you're just going to be where you were if you would have kicked two extra points. And a quarter of the time, you're going to be worse off. So mathematically, you should do it.
You know,
but that falls apart if, say, you're a terrible team from the goal line. Well, then it's not a 50-50 proposition. True. Cam Meredith. Okay. But
I think it's fun. It's the new
NFL.
It is. Yeah.
And they do say, like, mathematically, in the fourth quarter, if you're down
two scores,
you should do that because you have to score another touchdown.
Yep. Either way,
they would have won 20-20 or 21-20 if no other scores happened. So it worked. And if he misses it and gets the 2-pointer later, he's fine. So I don't know. I might start doing it in Madden.
I already started doing it in Madden. Oh,
you're ahead of the curve.
I love it. I think it's great. It's a lot of fun. I think I'd like to see people go for two more often. It's at the 2-yard line. You know, stop sending all these stupid kickers out there for a freaking 32-yard field goal.
Like, I really hate kickers.
Oh, can't stand kickers. Go for two. Like, points are fun. You know, it's 50-50. You have the same odds as sending your field goal kicker off.
Well, that's not true at all, Ryan.
It is. Absolutely.
Extra points are not 50-50.
You're either going to make it or you're not going to.
No, those are the two outcomes, but they hit them 90% of the time. So mathematically, you can't just look at it that way.
I look at it 50-50.
50-50. They might make it or not. There's two
50-50 outcomes.
All right. Well, that's not how math works, right? That's okay. You know,
so I'm going to math.
You went to Chaska, you know. So what did we get? We got one more.
Well, I like it.
Because you Dan Bailey for two. Yeah.
We can go with run game again.
I got run game down, but we don't need to talk about that. Run game sucks. A little better?
A little better with Rock Thomas. He's a little more explosive than...
Even Murray had a couple decent runs, though. Rock Thomas had that fucking retarded...
drop for a fumble, yeah.
Why would they even call that?
Was it Troy Aikman or Joe Buck they were saying... how maybe Rock Thomas leaked out too far.
Or maybe Cousins is supposed to take a couple steps back or something. Something like that.
There's no way.
Why would you draw a play up where you're throwing it backwards that far? Like, just seems like a terrible idea.
And if you do, why are you calling it up one score in your own territory?
All of it was bad. But beyond that, the run game was crap.
Yep.
For the most part. A couple slightly better than awful this game. But I'm going to not go with that. I'm going to go with that horrible prevent defense we played.
Oh.
To just basically, it was as if Zimmer said, this game is going to ride on the onside kick. I'm just going to let it get to the onside kick as quickly as possible, and we're going to decide the game here. Because I'm very confident if they get that onside kick, they get a field goal and beat us. But why? It's like you played prevent, but you played it as if they were going to throw a Hail Mary or something. And they're just going 15, 15, 15. They scored in like 90 seconds.
Yeah.
So you basically made the whole game ride on that extra point. Or I mean, not the extra point, on the onside kick for no reason.
And
at least
we had one timeout, two timeouts.
I don't know.
So it's not like we could have stopped the clock if they would have gotten a field goal.
Yeah, it's just, it was weird. It's like you feel really comfortable because you're up two scores. They have no timeouts, but that doesn't mean you just give them here. Take the free 7 points and let's get to the onside kick.
No, I mean, if you're willing to give up yards, be willing to give up 7 so they're not scoring in 90 seconds. It's going to take two minutes, maybe 2.5.
I would have been better off if they had only rushed 3 guys and just had a guy stand in the middle of the field. He got 15 to 25 yards on like every pass he dumped down to Ertz.
Yeah.
It was like, why is he doing this?
Yeah, it was, here's the middle of the field. Like,
yeah,
you're not throwing it over the top and you're not stopping the clock.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you're not going to the outsides, for you're not getting any sideline plays to stop it, and you're not throwing any bombs. But it was like Peterson's like, okay, we'll happily take 4 plays of 17 yards and then just throw a touchdown.
Take all this, take my playbook and turn it into like a little section because I know what I'm calling now.
Yeah.
Because.
And then we just did the same thing repeatedly. So they're like, oh, okay, so you're just going to let us throw to Ertz for 25 yard gains.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send 2 guys down the field and a guy on the outside, and then here's Ertz across the middle.
He'll just keep running and standing right in front of Wentz for easy yards. I just thought it was like, I get the prevent, but that was like the softest prevent I've ever seen. It was like a bizarre prevent.
It was Mike Tice prevent.
It felt like they were playing some like Hail Mary defense. That guy got lit up.
Yeah.
That was frustrating because that game should not have been
23-21.
It should not have been that like so stressful at the end there. You're up 2 scores, they have no timeouts, and you let them score so fast that I think there was still a minute on the clock when the onside kick happened.
Yeah.
So if Thielen bobbled that ball on the onside kick, if they get that, you could lose. And then you're going to go, remember when you just let them score a touchdown? You just let them score a touchdown. The only time you even tried to cover him was on the touchdown play. And he was got beat. Like, he's on Ertz. Zimmer said he was a little misaligned. But if we would have lost that game, people would look back and been so, like, pissed at Zimmer for just letting them get free 7 points. Yeah.
I don't get it. I
was like screaming at the TV, like, why? We're just going to basically let this game ride on the onside kick. We've decided. Like, I get it. You're probably going to get it, but how about we just don't even get to that point?
And then they do that stupid onside kick.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, unconventionally kicks it to his side.
Uh-huh. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh.
Well, and I think it was Joe Buck was even saying, or Aikman was saying, like, at what point did they just line up for the field goal and then do the onside? Because you need a field goal and a touchdown at that point. Yeah, they ended up getting the touchdown because we just let them get a touchdown. So maybe if you play a little defense, they slow down around, like, the 25, and they just say, okay, we're going to run out of time. Let's kick the field goal. Try to get the ball back because, again, you have to get an onside kick.
Yeah.
But instead we're like, hey, here's a free 7. I just was super annoyed with it. It reminded me of how when we lost to the Detroit Lions, we were both at that game.
I was awake for that.
Okay.
I was coherent for that.
Okay. You were coherent for that, where we completely botched the end of the game and they just got huge chunks, kicked a field goal, went to overtime, and Golden Tate did that thing up the sideline.
Yeah. Cause we scored with like 25 seconds left or something.
And
like
Blair
that.
Walsh, who I think was supposed to pooch it to like the 5. He boots it into the end zone. They kneel it down. They get to the 25-yard line. They throw like 2 passes, and they're in field goal range for Matt Prater for 55-yard or something like that. It's like, what the hell is going on here? Don't just give them yards, because
it's so weird how like he does that. Why? I don't know. I don't understand why Zimmer all of a sudden thinks, all right, this game I'm going to break out that prevent defense, and he thinks it's going to work. Like, I wonder if he thinks people aren't expecting that because...
Well, after the first two throws to Ertz, maybe you switch it up. I'm like, it's if you're just going to give them 20 yards of play, they'll gladly take it. It doesn't take them that long to line up and call the same play. Like, they did that very quickly. So that was... If that would have cost us the game, I'd have been not happy. So that would be one that I... Would be one of my non-stars of the game. So that...
One of your supernovas?
One of my supernovas was Zimmer's prevent defense that was embarrassing to watch. Any other thoughts from the game?
Just... Big really win. Pumped, just really pumped we came out of there with a W.
Yeah, to be 2-2-1 now. Because I was even like, okay, if we lose this game, I know people are going to act like it's the end of the world. It won't be. It will be okay. But like to get the win, now I feel like...
Now we're 2-2. We would have been 1-3-1.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. But it just seems... We came at it, like you said, out of these first five games in pretty good shape. You had three really tough road games. Yeah, the 49ers at home. Yeah, you blew the Buffalo game, but you beat the Eagles on the road. So, you're fine. The tie is annoying.
It really
sure
is.
Sure be nice if we were just 3-2.
Yep. No, 3-2, I'd have been pumped with. We'd have been half game out of first.
Yep.
With Chicago having the bye.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the Bears.
Yeah.
3-2 just looks better than 2-2-1 feels.
Yeah. And... Yeah, we're so close to being 4-1. Not, I guess not because the Bills smoked us, but had we shown up to play that day, it's the Bills at home. What the fuck?
Hey, even take the Bills loss. The Rams game, we lost by 7.
Yeah. You know, we're a strip sack. We were driving.
Yeah.
So
we're close to being 4-1.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of teams can say that and they can all make a case for why they should be whatever, but I do feel like we are a very good team and. We just had to like write the
shit.
It's
a lot less stressful being 2-2-1 than it is being 1-3-1.
Absolutely, yeah. Now you're going into this Cardinal game like confident.
Cardinals Jets stretch before the Saints were, you know, we played well against the Rams after the Buffalo debacle.
Yeah.
Well, we played really well against the Eagles. So we're starting to pick it up. The momentum's coming our way.
Kind of came around because the defense didn't play well against the Rams. Nope. So we as a team, we stayed with them. And really, if you take the Buffalo game out, like things have been a little weird with the defense, but like overall, we've been in every game, right there for the Packer game, right there for the Rams game.
We can come back. We don't quit.
Yeah, we've shown, you know, came back. The Packer game.
Did you see that Kirk Cousins pregame speech?
Oh yeah,
that was. I did not know. I didn't know he was
corny,
a leader like that.
Because you expect with Cousins, it's going to be a little like.
Yeah, a little
like, ugh, like
showy almost.
Like he just so doesn't corny. Seem like a, like he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But it came across, I thought, really well.
Oh yeah, like, I watched that and I got pumped for the game. Like that was really.
Did you see why he did it?
No.
He said that 98 told him to, and when 98 tells you to do something, you do it. It's Limbaugh Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Because Limbaugh, I think, usually does it. Limbaugh, I think he's usually the guy that does it. And I think he told Cousins, all right, you're going to get us pumped today. So good. I thought it was a pretty good speech. Was fired up.
Love it.
Team seemed to like it. Good to see out of our quarterback. A guy, I don't know.
Dude's got fire. I mean, clearly, dude wants to win. I mean, that none of that seemed forced.
I really like about him is that he's like obsessed with like getting better. Like if you watched did you watch the like off-field little documentary with him where he got signed and.
I watched the first, was it a two-part thing?
I think
thing
it's or? A three-part thing.
Okay, I saw the first part.
One where he got signed and stuff. But he's, yeah, so he's, they show him and he's like doing like drills on his computer with like this thing on his head. Okay. And he's like trying to work on his hand-eye coordination and run these drills. And he's like, you know, he does the cryo chamber. He clearly eats really healthy. Like he's doing everything possible. Kind of like how Tom Brady is like a crazy person as far as just like.
Him and his nuts.
What?
He's got TB12. The TB12 has a brand of like nuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where it's like like packages of assorted nuts, and then, like you can buy like weeks worth of nuts, and then like that's all you eat. It's crazy.
Just a week worth of Tom Brady's nuts. Yeah. That's not bad. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, Brady does everything possible to like maximize the length of his NFL career, to maximize like how good he's going to be. And it seems like Cousins is that sort of guy, you know, where it's just
and
like
that's why he's never on the injury report.
Yeah, never on the injury report, never hurt. Like he seems like he's getting better as his career goes on. Like he seems like his arm's getting stronger. Everything's just.
He seems a lot better. I mean, obviously
quarterbacks. I don't know if I didn't
want even, to just watch even him close like enough, even but, just from last year to this year, I feel like he's gotten better.
Yeah, and maybe that's the Diggs and Thielen effect because those guys are ridiculously good. Like some of those the best routes,
combo.
If you just watch some of those GIFs, I'm gonna call it a GIF by the way because it sounds way better than GIF.
It's GIF. It's GIF. Just go with it, I guess. Whatever.
If you watch any of those GIFs on Twitter of their GIF. Routes, it's ridiculous how open they get with just like little subtle shoulder shakes and stuff, and all of a sudden they just.
Who was that one guy who said there should be a somebody should have filed a missing persons report on Ronald Darby?
No, it was it Ronald Darby? I thought it was Jalen Mills.
No, it was Ronald. I thought.
Oh wait, maybe no. I think you're right. Yeah, on Ronald on the Diggs one. On the
Diggs one, yeah.
Did you see what someone replied?
No.
He said, "Well, Doug Peterson challenged the play so they could keep searching longer or something like that because that's the one they challenged when it was just blatantly obvious." Who is that?
Come on,
Traquan Smith.
Traquan Smith. There we go. That's my guy.
But yeah, because they challenged it, and then they show the replay, and it's literally like, he got 3 feet down. Who is the idiot that told you to challenge this, Doug Peterson? Even he was like, oh my God, like, what did I just challenge? It was so bad.
I don't know. He's like, well, who told me to challenge
this? Even though there's a guy up in the booth that's like, oh, challenge that, challenge that.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
He just broke the record for most passing yards on a nice touchdown pass.
Oh, to Traquan Smith.
To Traquan Smith.
First touchdown of his career.
You better get that ball back to Breeze. They're going to fight over it.
Yeah. Who gets that football?
Drew Breeze, a classy guy. I'd probably give it to him. They throw a flag on him for celebrating too much? Or is that a delay of game?
Probably a delay of game, but those refs should be ashamed of
themselves. Yeah, you're going to flag Drew Breeze and the Saints because they're celebrating him breaking a record?
He's what like, oh, I'm sorry for throwing that flag.
They're giving him like a plaque in the middle of the field. What is happening here? They should flag Breeze for taking his helmet off. Look at that. And the Chargers didn't think he was good enough to play with them, you know? Just seems weird. All-time passing leader, you know? Super Bowl champion.
Did they give Peyton Manning a plaque for doing that? I don't think so. Does the NFL like Drew Breeze more than Peyton Manning?
I do.
Well, I mean, obviously. Oh, I don't. Drew Brees.
Why would he's a good guy? Why you don't like Drew Brees?
No.
Why?
I'm still holding a grudge from the Saints game.
He didn't do anything in that game. He just played football. He didn't even do that good.
Don't care.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Anyway. Don't like it. I only like Traquan Smith.
Where were we? What the hell were we talking about? Oh, I just saw other takes from the Philly game.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry, got lost talking about.
This is a big moment, apparently. They're spending a lot of time.
Oh, and it happened at the Superdome.
At the Superdome.
You know, that's the NFL's rigged.
Yeah, let's talk about that, the NFL being rigged.
It's got to be. There's no way Dan Bailey misses three kicks. Has it been three?
No, last week he hit the upper end.
There's no way Dan Bailey misses two kicks in one game.
I'd like to, you know, Mason Crosby missing five.
That was four field goals
and an extra point. He's my fantasy kicker. I've had Daniel Carlson
and Mason
Crosby, and they both just decided one game to just lose their minds.
Is that guy crying?
There's a Saints fan crying because Drew Brees broke the passing yards record. That's embarrassing.
Unbelievable. Drew Brees himself isn't even crying.
Drew Brees' family.
His wife is not crying.
Looking at that plaque, Wayne, why are you handing this to us?
He's like, let's play the game.
Yeah. They're up 26-6. How about Alex Smith? You think he's better than Kirk Cousins?
Oh, absolutely. Redskins fans tell me so. They've watched Kirk Cousins more than I have, and they've got Alex Smith right in their face. So, yes, I
love seeing that on like Twitter. People are just like, so Washington had Kirk Cousins and just thought he wasn't good enough to give a long-term contract to. Like, what is wrong with them? They have like the worst in-house talent evaluation ever.
See, love this call. Going for two.
Didn't get it though.
Still a 3-possession ball game, but you go for two. Now all of a sudden the Redskins have to get two.
Did they also miss an extra point or did they kick two field goals?
Two field goals. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm loving it. Don't trust your kicker.
Oh. Don't trust your kicker. Well, their kicker missed an extra point already, so. Should we jump into lines now? Maybe talk.
No. We got to talk about
the Cardinal game, yeah.
Cardinals. God, you've got an issue. Should we?
I haven't even told you about the bet I hit. It was a nice bet. I'll tell you later.
Gamblers Anonymous?
There's only one bet I made. Nailed it, though. Cardinal game. Who did they just play? Josh Rosen. They lost. No, they won. They won. And Rosen went like 10 for 25, but looked good doing
it. Yeah. Well, the Cardinals have no playmakers.
I don't want to act like we did before the Bills game. We're like, how can they possibly score? But how can these guys score? David Johnson scares me, but they aren't even using him.
No, and if he splits out wide, I'm
more worried about him.
They don't even split him out wide anymore. That was a Bruce Arians.
Yeah, they don't even know how to use him. Fitz is getting old. Like, who does Rhodes shadow? Nobody. Fitz, I guess. I don't know.
I wouldn't even do that.
I mean, Christian Kirk. We should be like their passing offense versus our pass defense. We clearly have the edge. They have a rookie quarterback, although we lost a one rookie already. They've got
and Rosen is a better quarterback than Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen has looked horrible.
But you know what? There's no way this Vikings team puts up two duds
at home.
There's that, but
well, two in general. I get that. Yeah, but
two.
Like,
yeah,
it would be crazy if you had two at home. True. So like their run game versus our run D.
I'll take Linval hungry over.
I mean, our run defense has been pretty good all season.
Yeah.
Besides, the Rams took some decent chunks.
Well, it's just because Todd Gurley.
And it's because you're so, their play action and stuff is ridiculously good that you have to, you almost have to just concede a few yards every time to Todd Gurley.
Yep.
And then their defense versus our offense. I don't think there's a defense in the league that concerns me with our offense. Our offense is, we just went up against the team that's number one in the rush. Obviously, we didn't run that good, but, it just seems like we can throw at will.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So Patrick Peterson can maybe...
He'll probably take Thielen. I bet it's a huge Diggs game.
You think he'll take Thielen? Is Patrick Peterson more of an outside guy, though?
He'll inside or out.
He'll follow?
When he shadows.
Well, you can only pick one.
Usually he shadows.
Yeah, usually he shadows. So, but you can only pick one of them. And I still think that our receivers are good enough to beat Patrick Peterson on occasion. I don't think it's one of those where it's like, you're just done.
I think Thielen probably has a better shot of beating Peterson personally. I think Thielen might be a better route runner.
I think they're both so good. I can't watch those Diggs highlights of him just making people disappear.
Yeah, Thielen does the same thing.
They both do the same thing. So I think they both, I just think they're both.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who's on Peterson. They're still.
And then the other guy's not on Peterson, so he should do pretty well.
And who's their second corner? Jerod Powers or something stupid like that?
Yeah. So, we got to win this. I don't know how we don't win this. But we talked about that before the Bills game.
But again, not having two duds. There's no way. We're not going to lose to Steve Wilkes.
Yeah,
former defensive coordinator of the Panthers. I'm not scared of the Panthers. I'm not scared of Steve Wilkes. whatever.
Just blitz Josh Rosen out of his mind. Man up.
Let's get to Mike Glennon.
Let's get Bradford on the field.
He'll be inactive.
Yeah, but if you hurt the first two quarterbacks, the third one gets to become. The third quarterback doesn't count against your inactive.
That's baloney.
No, that's a real rule.
No way.
Yeah, if we had... I'm fairly certain you get one spot for the quarterback. If our two quarterbacks get hurt, Kyle Slaughter gets to suit up.
Debatable.
Okay.
Debatable.
Well, I don't know the rule.
I like that. If that's a rule, that's cool. But I always thought that's why they're always talking about emergency quarterbacks. Or is that for two teams that strictly carry just two quarterbacks?
Yeah, they don't have one that
is that sits on the roster. The, yeah.
Yeah. I think. I mean, I'll look it up.
I feel like the NFL would let you because they love the quarterback position.
Yeah. Oh no, the rule was abolished.
What?
So third quarterback rule. The third quarterback rule was a rule in the NFL that governed the use of a third quarterback in addition to the starter and the backup. And it didn't count against your active roster.
When did they get rid of that?
The rule was abolished in 2011 when the NFL increased the roster size to allow 46 players to dress.
How many were allowed?
I think it was 45 before.
43. Oh, is it?
Might have been even lower than that, actually. So basically we won't see Bradford.
Yep.
Unless, to show a little class, they let him suit up, to come into play his former team.
They'll probably let him suit up, but
they inactive. don't have to pay him as much though when he's inactive. So cheap bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's some sort of bonus in his contract for if he's active for so many games and they're
there's a $1 million bonus in there.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well,
poor bitch.
But yeah, I just think blitz him. Rhodes can take Fitzgerald. I'm comfortable with our secondary just manning against these guys.
Let Mike Hughes follow Christian Kirk. Yeah. And then our third core, Mac or J-Ron. Mac has been targeted 10 times and he's allowed 10 catches this year?
Has he? Because I swear he made a good play on one of them.
I thought so too, but that's something I read.
Yeah. It's always so tough though when you see these stats and stuff that like, what do they consider a target towards him? Is this because of like, oh wait, that's not his guy, but he peeled off and like, it's even like, you know, like randoms on Twitter that post like the game film. Like I like that the guy was talking about Barr. Like yeah. I like his stuff, but I disagree with his assessment of the play. Like he thinks Barr's responsible for the flat. Barr doesn't try to cover the flat. So it's like, well then Barr failed because he didn't cover the flat at all. But like, I don't think
he didn't cover the guy, nor did he cover the flat. So
I don't know how you can defend.
Either way, he's wrong on the play.
Either way, Barr did bad, but yes, it was Cooper Kupp. So like, that's your defense, is that he's in a really bad matchup. But it's just tough when like, even with the Pro Football Focus, like when they say, you know, this guy's allowed so many throws in this area, it's like, okay, well, did he drop the ball? Was there pass interference? Was there, you know, like, so, but Mac has seemed to be not
very
fantastic.
Good.
He isn't. Jamron Curse has been in a lot there. Hughes has clearly already passed him on the depth chart.
I don't think Mac's very good.
I think
he doesn't look good, at least. He hasn't looked good at all this year, besides.
He doesn't play a lot, so I don't know if it's like, I don't know. Maybe
he does play a lot, though.
I don't think he's played that much. How many snaps do you think he played last game?
I don't know.
I feel like a handful.
48?
48 snaps? Mac Alexander. Maybe he did play a lot. I thought we just kept rotating in. Ioka played like 6-7 snaps. Jaron Kearse played quite a bit.
Did they run like 60 plays?
Yeah, and we did play. I think Gideon only played like 6. So, yeah. I mean, that means we were in nickel for most of the game. Zimmer said he liked when Peebles put us in nickel. I don't know if he was just like saying it to fuck around, but he's like, oh, I get to get way more creative when we're in nickel. So, like, I don't care. Like,
yeah, well, you've got a lot. You've got more.
Like, oh, no, we have to take Ben Gideon off the field. Like,
I don't know why we just don't make Jaron Kearse one of those linebackers and then just never play Gideon.
It looks like we kind of do that on occasion where like you just stay in nickel even though they have a couple tight ends out there because they're probably passing still even though they have. I mean, you have Goddard and Ertz. I'm still worried about the pass just as much as I'm running it. So yeah.
I'm more worried that they're going to pass with those guys out
and
there.
And in that situation, I'd rather have Kearse or Ioka in there for a run presence than Mac Alexander.
Or Gideon.
Yeah. I'm not giving up on Mac yet, but it is concerning that they drafted Hughes. Hughes passed him. And now they're using safeties as big nickels over him at points in the game. And then when he has been thrown at, it isn't like he's looking that great. So
I didn't even think he'd make the opening day roster.
Oh, yeah. You had him cut.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you were right.
I haven't been big on Mac in a while. I was really big on him coming out, but you know,
I liked his story, like the like whole like his family owns like an orange grove farm, and he had to work like these long days and all this nonsense. But
well, yeah, I like that he's a hard worker, but he just isn't very good at football.
Well, it's kind of interesting that he got like all pissy that he had to play slot the first year, nickel.
And now it sounds like he does enjoy it, or at least now he tries to.
I think it's like, oh, wait, my job isn't going to be handed to me. Maybe I should just
put my head down and work.
put my head down and work before I lose my job. Well, and it's even if he is more comfortable on the outside, they like Hughes more on the outside, clearly, because they could easily have the guys flipped.
True.
So Hughes basically proved that he's better on the outside than Mac. So
he's better in the slot than Mac. So trade Mac Alexander to a cornerback needy team.
For a lineman?
Oh, yeah.
Eric Flowers?
No.
Did they cut him? They said they were going to cut him by 4 o'clock today.
I'm sure they would. No, I thought it was Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it would be because there's obviously a game going on. You can't actually do anything with that. So, yeah, I think we should be able to take the Cardinals. Matchup-wise, I think we match up well. I think they're a bad team. So that usually
helps. I don't think the Cardinals are very good at all.
They're starting a rookie quarterback. Don't lose to a rookie quarterback twice at home.
They don't have many playmakers at all. At all. Not on the defense.
The Bills didn't either. The Bills were worse than the Cardinals, talent-wise, I would say. Who's their pass rush on the Cardinals? Because I guess that's
Chandler
what beat
Jones.
Yeah. I think that guy's definitely as good as Jerry Hughes.
I think he's better than Jerry
Hughes. And they have...
And they have Marcus Golden, too. I think he's a good player.
Patrick Peterson. They got
Buchanan.
The safety, Buda Baker. They got,
I think he plays corner.
Yeah, I think he plays a lot of nickel corner now, too. He's kind of a flexible guy. But so they're not like completely devoid of talent. But no. It's offensively, they're pretty weak.
If you their offensive line is really bad. It's do they still really have
who's the guy we cut at the end of the preseason last year?
Boone?
Boone, yeah, he's not around still, is he?
I'm not sure. All I know is their offensive line is really bad. So
our D line played really well last week, so I'm hoping that continues. And if you get pressure on a rookie quarterback, you should be fine.
Is that a defensive touchdown?
That guy just dropped the ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I caught the guy picking it up.
Another thing on the Eagle game. Did you think that was a touchdown by the running back who ran the wheel route on Kendricks? Also, side note before we get into that, Kendricks getting burned by wheel routes is kind of getting annoying.
Yeah.
It happened in the Saints game last year. I know he's, again, man-to-man against a running back, but you can't just let the linebacker off the hook because they run a
wheel route.
A wheel route or a seam route, you need to,
because sooner or later, everyone's going to start doing it.
Keep doing it. It's worked on him multiple times. So, yeah. Maybe it's some sort of adjustment where they get a little more depth or something. But, then the guy will just go to the flat. It's a tough play to defend, but he's been getting beat on it.
They sell the flat to him really well.
And then they go up. So, but did you think that was a catch?
No.
How is that a catch?
I
what football?
In reality, yes, it's a catch. But by NFL standards, no, I don't think it's a catch
either way. I think for you to have to catch it, you need to fall to the ground and catch it.
Well,
it's not a catch if you can't get up with the ball in your hand and hand it to the ref. You dropped it.
That's true.
If I was out in my backyard playing football and someone threw me the ball, I dove to catch it and I fell to the ground and I dropped it. They kept saying, he made a football move while he was twisting.
Yeah,
slow motion.
You're turning. They say, a football move is turning up field or something like that, and he turned up field.
The dude's in midair, and it's in slow motion. It's that's a split second. It's not a football move. That's him trying to catch the football.
Yeah.
He's twisting his body to try to corral the ball in, and then he falls to the ground and doesn't complete the catch.
I don't think that's a catch.
So I was blown away. And then, of course, since they called it a catch, they're going to confirm it's a catch because they're not going to fucking deal with that shit. But I was just
don't tell me that he took two steps and so that's
he didn't
a catch.
Take any steps. Yeah. He just fell and dropped it. It was bizarre to me. If Kelvin Johnson's play isn't a catch, that's definitely not a catch.
Exactly. That's all I could think about is
the Kelvin one's a little different to me because he caught it and he basically sets it down a little.
No. The Jesse James catch of last year is a lot better.
Yeah, that's a good one too. It's bizarre what they decide. Or the Ertz one in the Super Bowl is a little controversial. I do think that one was a catch. He takes a couple steps and then bangs it against the ground. But he took two steps. This one was, he's in the air trying to corral the ball and he hits the ground and drops it.
Yep, the ball comes out. He hits the ground, and the ball pops out. That should not be a catch.
That is not.
If Dez didn't catch it, this guy didn't catch it.
Yeah, and if that's in the middle of the field, I guarantee they don't call that a fumble.
No.
The ref would come running in and go, incomplete.
Yep.
There's no way that was the weirdest thing ever. It just passed us by it wasn't a thing. Yet the Aikman, my buddy Troy Aikman, and Joe Buck decide to talk about the roughing the passer call for hours on end. They go to halftime. We come out of halftime, they're still talking about it. It's get over it.
It's they're trying to feed the Philly fans.
You feed the Philly fans and feed the roughing the passer controversy.
Which I'm really getting tired of hearing. I know there's a lot of bad calls out there, but let's just effing deal with it.
Yeah,
you know?
And the last couple weeks haven't been as bad since the whole Clay Matthews debacle and all that other nonsense. But that one against the Bennett one was bad, I would admit it. But get over it. What the fuck are we still talking about this?
It is what it is.
I think the Philly
now.
Fans are over it, and you guys are still talking about it. We just had the whole halftime show be about it, and now Buck and them are, it was a big play that really changed the way the game ended. Or
no, 17-3 when it could only be 10-3. Yeah, they could have scored a
touchdown. Let's not talk about the drop in the end zone that they just gave them 7 points on. No. I think they got 8 because they went for 2. if I'm not right.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Where Sendejo should have made that play. Oh, another controversial call. Did you think Sendejo was a was a roughing the defenseless receiver?
Oh my god.
I'm almost wondering if he wasn't trying to go for the ball and then it was tipped and then he jacked, like just smashed into his back. That was a terrible call.
Well, you could hear the defender, someone, I don't know who it was, yelling at the ref. What, he can't go for the ball?
Yeah, because it looked like he was going, like, up, like, to, like, make a play.
Yeah, and, like, his arms out, like, he's not crouched in looking to hit somebody.
Yeah.
Like, he hits some arms first, and he kind of gets sandwiched in there.
I mean, that call is because he's Anderson Dejo. He's got his...
That's a reputation call.
Yeah, he's got a reputation for doing that. But now I got, again, on Twitter, all these people are like, they should trade him and get rid of him and use Ioka instead. It's like, Sendejo's a good player. He's makes some mistakes. No,
there's a reason why Sendejo plays over Ioka. He's clearly better.
And
just not even like maybe he can't, maybe he's the like same different players.
No,
Sendejo's just better. Clearly for our defense, he's better. That's why Ioka doesn't play. Sendejo's better than Ioka. I'm tired of all these guys. He's a good player. Like, oh, yeah.
He screws up sometimes and hit people when he shouldn't. But he also kind of
he
puts fear in receivers that other, like, I know you're going
to. If Sendejo played with John Lynch, they'd be in the same conversation. Just because, like, he's hitting guys. As far as
hitters?
Yeah. Well,
as far as players.
Well, no, but just hitters go. Yeah. Just because. A lot of the hits that he's laying on people aren't penalties.
Though back in the day, those aren't penalties at all. Yeah. And like, you still need to have that presence of like, you can't just throw over the middle all day and we're not going to hit you. So yeah, he might get a penalty here and there. He might overrun a play because he runs like a crazy person sometimes. But he also clearly does. I don't see him getting burned much in coverage.
Not as much as I used to, at least.
Yeah, he had the one play to Ertz, but that's because they had like 7 seconds to throw where Ertz did that little spin around route, went to the middle. I just think I wish he could have took that guy down on the pitch play on the two-pointer. Yeah. At least slowed him up a little better because it was like, ugh, here comes Doug Peterson and wheeling and dealing and he's going for two like a crazy person. And it would have been cool to just shut him down right there. You know? But he didn't.
Just enough of that. Well, yeah, I've had enough
just
of
enough
you.
Of the whole, oh, is he going to go for it on 4th and 20? Oh. No, he's going to hut, take the penalty, and then he's going to punt it. Like, he's not that fucking crazy.
What did you think? Did you see the... Speaking of going for it on 4th and 20, did you see the Sean McVay
4th and 1?
Did you see the whole scenario and how he coerced the
Pete Carroll? He lined up for a punt, then the Seahawks called timeout, and then he came and did a QB sneak.
And then he came in where a lot of people do the opposite.
Yeah, they call timeout, then they punt. Yeah, and I don't know if it was like I'm pretty sure Pete Carroll's going to call a timeout, so I'm going to make him use it, or.
That's the way I
changed my mind.
That's kind of the way I took it. Yeah. Like, the way I'm watching it.
Apparently he's a genius then, but.
Well, I think he's a genius.
And
it
comes back to like, if you're playing Madden and you're the Seahawks, what do you want the Rams to do in that situation?
You want them to punt.
You want them to punt. You're begging for them. Please punt me the ball so I have the ball and I can go beat you.
Yep.
Do not, like, take that chance away from me.
Do not go for it and then have the game end.
I don't even get a chance to come back. Yep. You just kneel it out. Like, if you're the Seahawks fans, what do you want them to do? You want them to punt the ball. Like, please don't go for it. Please don't go for it. Because you know you're not going to stop a QB sneak. Yep. You're not going to stop Todd Gurley from getting 1 yard. I mean, maybe you do, but I would say it's 80 to 90% they're going to get that 1 yard.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm playing someone in Madden, I'm begging for them to punt that ball. Like, I'm... Not out loud, obviously. I'm not telling them, but it's like I'm pissed if they go for it and get it because now it's like, oh,
that's
over. I just lost. I didn't even get a chance to like. I didn't even get the ball to like. Maybe I went to score, but at least I had a chance. Like it just takes.
And even as a fan, like at that point, it's like, oh, all right, well, now I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's over. I'm done. Like it just like
you were all like getting ready to be pumped. Like we you stopped were gonna them. Get the
we
ball.
We stopped them. Yep. Yeah,
we were. All, yeah, momentum I was all checked. Side, I was all checked. Fun. It's third. We just stopped them on 3rd and short. Just,
like. There's lots of times where I just like plain Madden, which sounds stupid, but you learn like even like managing the clock at the end, like so many teams, it'll be a team's driving on you, you're winning, so you just let them drain the whole game and then score the final touchdown. It's like at some point you need to assume they could score.
Yeah.
Don't go like, well, we thought we were going to stop them. It's like, good for you. You still need to like plan for plan B. And I remember last year Zimmer did that once. I forget what game it was. He did it the smart way where he actually... Oh, I think it was the miracle play. He assumed... Maybe it wasn't. No, yeah, he called timeout. They threw like that short pass to the side and he immediately called timeout, assuming the kicker's... Like so many coaches, it seems like... I could see it like a Jeff Fisher type, like back in the day, like, well, we were going to play that he wasn't going to make that 48-yarder or whatever because we didn't think he was going to, you know. It's like, plan that he's going to. And there's just so many times where I just think coaches play like so conservative. It seems to be changing now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, as, I mean.
The Rams, the Chiefs don't muck around. The Saints, like, who was the Peterson, Colts. The Eagles don't screw around.
Colts went for it.
The Titans, Vrabel seems like he's willing to just
do shit. You know who screws around with that? Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett. He punted on the other side of the field.
Yeah, he was there on like the 45 or something like that. I'm sorry. It was a long yard. It was a long
best case scenario. Best case scenario, you tie.
Yeah.
Like, good job, Jason Garrett.
That's what he said. It's a long yard. It was a long yard. And that's why the dude needs to be canned. Like, he's holding that team back. Him and Dak Prescott.
Dak sucks.
He's so bad.
That's some bad weapons he's got. But I never saw it. I never really saw it with Dak. Romo's watching from the booth going, I retired because they wanted that guy. Pretty sure I'm better than that guy.
Dez went to left if I was your quarterback. I'm the only one who could keep Dez together.
Dez wants back on their team.
Oh, I know. It's funny how Dez thinks that he can change it, though.
I love how Dez keeps going, like, I'm going to sign soon. Who?
Yeah. Wait, who's calling?
You've said this, like, 4 times now. We're starting to not believe you. I don't think anyone wants you, dude.
Who's calling? Really?
He says they're calling. They're banging
San Francisco door. Because they're bad and they want to sell tickets?
They should just sign Kaepernick. Because CJ Beathard sucks.
Yes.
That guy is inaccurate. Dez. Who could Dez help? The Cowboys. Dez could help the...
The Redskins?
No, I don't think that's their problem. They got Richardson and... Yeah, man. And Crowder. The Bills.
Yeah, but they don't want
to
win.
They don't want to win. Yeah, you need a team that wants to win that also... I could say maybe the Redskins aren't bad. That's not a bad choice. The Packers.
Yeah.
With all their injuries. First off, Randall Cobb's bad at football regardless, but Davante Adams is their only good player on offense. But...
Oh, the Pack. So, does Mike McCarthy make it through the season? At this pace.
Let me pull up the Packers schedule. And because right now he's in trouble.
And are they 1-3-1?
No, or are they same two, as us. They're 2-2-1 because they beat the Bears week one.
They beat someone last week.
They beat
the Bills.
The Bills. So they have a win against the Bears where they had to come roaring back. And then they shut out the Bills. They have losses to the Redskins. A tie to us and a loss to the Lions. So they play home against the 49ers on Monday Night Football this week.
Okay.
Okay, you'd think they're going to win that. Then they play at the Rams, at the Patriots.
Ooh, okay, so they could be 3-4-1.
Okay, I think McCarthy survives that because they're good teams, and then they have the Dolphins and the Seahawks and stuff. But if they lose the 49ers on Monday Night Football... And then they go to the Rams and the Patriots, and they lose all 3 of those games, and they're 2-5-1. Then I think you could get canned.
And then what if you split? And then let's say they split that Dolphins
Seahawks.
Say you beat the Dolphins, but then lose
to the Seahawks,
and get handed to by the Seahawks.
And that's their bye week is after the Seahawks because then they play us at home after that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the week you fire McCarthy.
Yeah. Have to be.
Yeah, I think he's held Rodgers back for years. Bad, like, nothing exciting ever with his offense.
No, I was reading, I think, The Ringer. It was
from... Oh, yeah, they did a whole article on it.
Yeah. I didn't read it.
I just saw the...
I read it. I liked it. It's everything, you know.
That we kind of think about how, like, if it wasn't for Rodgers, McCarthy, probably wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah, and they talk about how they, you know, it's just the same thing. How you know, McCarthy's an older coach. He's been around for 11 years, and he hasn't evolved his offense.
Yeah, he doesn't like adapt to any new ideas or do anything exciting.
And it's they compared him to Andy Reid. They're like, Andy Reid's 7 years older than him, but he finds ways to keep changing on offense.
Andy Reid is like really impressive, actually, as far as just like kind of. He's leading the new wave of like these crazy plays with this like all this window dressing and end arounds, and
he brought Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy in the league.
Yeah,
two other guys who are doing the same.
Calling this different type of and man, that guy can coach quarterbacks. Like
he's been around, most notably that I know, Favre in Green Bay. So early 90s, where. I mean, what is that, 25 years?
Yeah, it was probably mid-90s.
He's been coaching some of the best offenses for 25 years.
I mean, Favre, and then he moved up to the Eagles, went to McNabb, who...
was awesome.
Yeah, really good with McNabb. Then he brought Vic, made him look good. I think he had... Did he have... who's that stupid quarterback that traded to the Cardinals that he made
Kevin
look
Cobb.
Good? Kevin Cobb. He made Kevin Cobb look good enough that the Cardinals gave him, like, decent stuff. A second-round
pick.
Yeah.
And... Dominique Rogers Cromartie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they gave him a good corner, too.
Yeah.
And then he went to... Did he leave Philly to go to the Chiefs?
Yeah, because he
went to Vic.
Yeah, he
reignited
Vic.
His career.
I feel like there's another quarterback. Was he the Foles?
I think he was the... No, that was Chip Kelly. That was Chip Kelly, yeah. So I think it was just McNabb into Vic.
But he...
With
Cobb
in the middle.
Foles, maybe.
I don't know. He might have. But went to the Chiefs, made Alex Smith...
Yeah, traded for Alex Smith immediately, I believe.
Yeah, and then he looked really good, and now he has Mahomes. I mean, the guy's a lot better than Mike McCarthy, who somehow can't ever do anything besides one good season with Rodgers. I mean, they're always in it, but...
But that's because of Rodgers.
Yeah, that's because Rodgers is really good. So we're like hour 26. We should probably hit some lines quick.
Holy cow.
We'll maybe fire through these a little quicker, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I didn't really... That's...
It's been good talk, you know.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
So last week, pretty good week for both of us. Who's playing right now? Saints?
Saints, Redskins.
I have the Redskins covering 6.5. That's not looking too good. You've got the Saints.
Of course I have the Saints.
But right now I'm sitting at 9-4 for the week.
Nice.
And you are at 7-6. Mm. 9-4 would be the best percentage-wise we've had. And so I bet I was at the... What's that place called? Sonic?
Okay.
The fast food place.
Yes.
And I was sitting there eating some food. And Jessica's like, oh, you should bet on the games. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do a bet. So I did a three-team parlay, money line, Detroit to win, Cleveland Browns to win, and the Cincinnati Bengals to win. They all hit. I won $1,700.
Nice.
And I think two of those teams were underdogs. So that's why it paid off so well, because I think I bet like $300 or something. But...
Nasty.
The Bengals at first were the ones who were blowing it, and I was like, oh, fucking Bengals. Like, you were I think they were like a 6-point favorite. I was like, they're supposed to be the one that was the lock.
The Dolphins, yeah.
And then they ended up just roaring. I think they scored 24 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know they had two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was a blowout. So that game ended. Detroit pretty much handled Green Bay the whole way. I kind of thought with what the Packers had no weapons to speak of because they're all hurt. And then the Browns, of course, they go to overtime.
Oh,
so I'm watching the Browns. Am I going to win $2,000 or am I going to lose $300? And fucking guy kicks that field goal and it just looks horrible. I don't know if it was blocked or what. Did you see that final kick?
Oh, I think he's just bad.
He barely made it over the upright.
Do you hear what Joe Buck compared it to? Mark McGwire's 69th home run? Because it just kind of goes up and down like a line shot.
I was like, what? But they pulled it off. So I was pretty happy about that. You know, got a nice win there. Then the Vikings pulled it off. So it was a good weekend. You know,
what did we have for the Packers Lions line? Because
It moved at some point, but we had it as Packers by 1.5. But I think by Saturday or Sunday, it ended up being Detroit was favored by like a half a point or a point or something. So when I bet it,
when we did it,
Lions were the underdog.
Okay, so when you bet it was Lions by half or something
I think when I bet it, the Lions were still underdogs. Because I think the Lions and the Browns were both underdogs. And I took them both to win. And then the Bengals were...
The favorite?
Yeah, the Bengals were... I needed a third team. And I was like, Panthers maybe? And then I thought I did bet the Panthers. And I was like, oh, they're a lock because they were smoking the Giants.
Yeah.
Guy hits a 63-yard field goal, though, after the Giants came back to win.
Did you listen to the, on Twitter, did you hear the Spanish call to
No,
it?
I saw that.
Oh, you gotta listen to it. It is awesome.
The Spanish announcers on the kick.
You know, dude, I don't know what they're saying, but it's hilarious.
How are people missing extra points and that guy hits a 63-yarder outdoors to win a game?
And it's not like he just barely made it either. That thing could have went another 3 yards.
Right when he kicked it, it was like, he made that. Yeah. He drilled it. So, I don't know. But let's jump into the line. So, both had good weeks last week. If you win the Saints one, you'll be 8-6. I'll be 9-5. So, both 500. But maybe the Redskins, you know, they'll make a comeback.
No.
First game up, Eagles, fresh off a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. They're on the road at the Giants, and they're a 3-point favorite.
Give me the Eagles. The Giants are bad.
Yeah, the Giants are bad. The Eagles are not looking good, but I think they're still a better team.
Yeah, the Giants' best quarterback plays receiver.
So he's gonna want more money. Yeah.
He wants quarterback
holding
money.
Out. How does Saquon though? He looked like he kind of twisted his leg up, or is he good to go? He's ready.
I'm a little worried.
Did a little ridiculous hurdle into the end zone,
and then it looked like he kind of like tweaked his knee a little bit there.
Like during the celebration, is one of those where it's like, whoa, wait, hold on, he's I think he's hurt.
Yep, don't
exactly. touch him. Don't touch him. Clear space. So we both have Eagles there. Bills at Texans. Texans are 8.5-point favorites at home.
Give me the Texans.
I'm going Bills.
Think they're scrappy enough to stick around?
I mean, last time I went Bills, the Packers beat them 22-0. But I'm not really impressed with the Texans team. They barely beat the Jason Garrett-led Cowboys.
Yeah, but Cowboys always play tough on primetime games. They were like 10-2.
It was the battle for Texas, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
8.5 is too much. The Texans don't deserve to be picked by 8.5.
Watson's kind of banged up.
Yeah, he looked like he was roughed up a little after that.
No, I'm sticking with it.
Watson or banged up Watson or Josh Allen.
It's already written down.
Yeah, I've already typed it in, so you're screwed. Seahawks at Raiders. Seahawks 3-point favorites.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks.
Oh, shoot. I said Josh Allen. I meant QB 17 for the Bills.
Oh, yeah, QB17 for the Bills.
I didn't mean to mention his name. I apologize.
Thanks.
My bad. Blew that week one. Yeah. That lasted 1 week.
Yep. But we've got to remember that. Quarterback 17 for the Bills.
Yep. You're going to take the Raiders, I assume, right? Big Raider fan? Gruden guy?
No.
Gruden's Grinders?
No, did I not say...
Gruden Grinder?
No, did I not say I'm not picking the Raiders all year?
Yeah.
I thought it was that and the Cowboys.
So Seahawks by 3. We both agree.
No.
Seahawks played the Rams tough.
Yeah, they did.
That was impressive. Like,
I don't know how they...
Rams D, not good? Is it all because Talib is...
Well...
I mean, what the...
Peter's tweaked his ankle, too, the
in
week
that game?
Before us.
Oh, yeah, I know, but, like, he played. So, it was like, what, is he just really hurt?
I think he's just really hurt.
So, he's playing hurt, and then they also don't have Talib, and that's causing them to be, like,
so
horrible.
Because
we scored every time, and then the CX scored, like, every time.
Yeah, but this time it was their run defense.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they ran all over them.
Maybe the Rams defense isn't good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's because they don't have any edge. Any
why
edge
is
rushers.
It always like that? It seems like these teams that have really good offenses, like it's like the defenses go like
belly up.
But yeah, they just like it's like whatever. Like even our we finally have like our offense right now. I would say is better than our defense. Like
yeah, right now.
Like
yeah.
Why is that happening? We have the best defense in the league last year, and now our offense is finally like incredible, and we start fucking
the Saints.
Up. Saints, another year. Team. I
yep.
just can't figure it out.
Oh,
that's kind of bizarre. It's a phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
All right, both got Seahawks. Bears at Dolphins. Bears are 3-point favorites. I think both these teams are 3-1.
No, the Dolphins are
3-2. 3-2. Okay, that's a
I'm taking the Bears. 3-point favorites.
I took the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like the Bears are due for... Like, everyone is just sucking them off.
I think they only need to score 17 points to beat the Dolphins.
I think their defense is going to have a bad game for once. Oh. You know?
You think Ryan Tannehill?
I just think that they're getting a little full of themselves over there.
Man, Miami will go crazy if they go... If they're 4-2 and just beat the Bears.
Yeah, but I don't think... You know, people, it's not that great of a win. Come on, it's still Trubisky. I know he threw a bunch of touchdowns. One of them was a touch pass. Dude's bad at football.
Good defense.
Very good defense. Steelers at my Bengals. 2.5-point favorite Bengals.
Ooh. Who'd you take?
None of your business.
Well, how come I get?
I took the Steelers.
Place? You took the Steelers?
I think another one, like similar to the Bears, I think the Bengals are riding a little too close to the sun. They got to get Brock down to earth.
Yeah.
Traquan Smith.
Oh, my.
Two touchdowns for Traquan.
Is he as good as I thought he is?
I don't know. I kept telling Ben that I thought Courtland Sutton was better than him, and Ben's like, no, Traquan Smith's better.
God.
I still think Courtland Sutton's better than him, but...
Well, yeah, but he's got that guy looks good. Case Keenum throwing to him.
Yeah, I guess he's not in that... He's right now, that guy's playing the Ted Ginn role in the freaking Saints offense. Yeah, so.
Well, and that's what he'd be playing for the rest of his career.
Well, yeah, but Breeze won't be around forever. But then guess who comes in?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy B.
I haven't seen him playing with the cameras on the sideline yet.
Yeah, they haven't really featured him as much as you'd expect, you know?
Well, it's national television.
Yeah, I figured he'd be kind of like most of the time on camera, like majority. They keep showing this number 9 fella, like he's breaking records or something.
I feel like in between the plays, they should be showing number 5's reaction.
Yeah, they should be panning over there constantly. Well,
how is there no Teddy Cam?
Teddy Cam. This should be, I'll make it. I'll put it up on a site. Teddy Cam will just be in the stands. So I took Steelers. They're 2.5-point dogs to the Bengals.
Taking the Steelers. Yeah. I don't really like the Bengals, but I needed you to convince me on the Bengals.
I couldn't do it this time.
No.
Another team that I feel like things just even out in the NFL, you know? And unless you're the Chiefs or the Rams. And the Bengals. And the
Steelers played pretty well against the Falcons last.
Yeah, they basically ended their season.
Yeah.
Colts.
Falcons would be picking in the top 5. If the season, right now.
Well, yeah, they've one win.
1-4? Ugh. But, sorry, go on. Next game?
Colts at the Jets. Jets are a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, I'm going to take the Jets. At home, you said, right?
Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets at home.
I took the Colts. I feel like the Colts are, I think they only have one win, but they've been in every game, and they can move the ball. They can move the ball, though, on offense.
Yeah, but they can also let people move the ball at
will. Yeah, so it'll be a fun game. Yeah,
Sam Darnold.
For two horrible teams, it actually might be interesting because it's going to be like a shootout, I think. Darnold looked good, though. Throws to Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, that second your one boy was Crowell, really impressive.
Unbelievable. 200 yards.
Unbelievable.
Did you start him in your other league?
Absolutely not.
Oh, that's the problem with Crowell. Don't know when to start him.
I didn't start either Jets running back, though, so that was nice.
Oh, yeah, that worked out for you.
Yeah.
Next game is Panthers at the Redskins. I'm sure this line will move some because the Redskins are getting destroyed right now, but it is Panthers by 1.5.
I'll take the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Panthers. I don't think the Redskins are good.
Even if the Panthers move to 4.5, I'll take the Panthers.
Yeah, and it probably will because this is early line, but I just don't think the Redskins are a good team. They got a good game against the Packers.
Uh-huh. And
then I think they beat, like, the Colts.
The Cardinals. It was the Cardinals.
Yeah, and it's just... They don't have anyone that scares me. I don't know. Alex Smith's a bum.
Yeah.
I don't like the Redskin fans that think Kirk Cousins is worse than Alex Smith, so I'm not going to pick him.
No, screw the Redskins.
Biggest line of the week. Your Minnesota Vikings home against the Cardinals. 10.5-point favorites.
Oof, can be... Our Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to take them too. That's a big spread.
It is.
10 has a lot. I don't. You got to win by more than a touchdown or a field goal. But
that's 24-13. That's easy.
Let's have a game where we just beat someone down. Like the 49er game, we beat them up and then we let them come back. The Eagle game, we beat them up, we let them come back.
It's funny that you say that. My dad texted me yesterday after the game. He's like, is it ever going to be an easy win? Like, are we ever going to get an easy win?
17, at one point in that game, we're up 20-3. Put them away.
Score one more touchdown, you know?
Yeah, what did we end up getting? Just a field goal?
Yeah.
So we only had 2 field goals in the second half.
Yes.
So that's 2 games, the 49er game and this game, where the offense didn't put the game away. Like, put the fucking game away. You can move the ball at will, it seems like.
But we're lacking a run game. It's easier to put the game away when you're not forced to throw the ball.
At this point, I'm ready to just throw the run game out because it seems to me like passing is just a lot easier for us. Until Diggs or Thielen gets hurt, they can't stop us. No one can stop us. It's insane the way that those guys get open. So Vikings 10.5, make it 20. I ain't afraid. We're going Vikings. Next is Chargers at Browns. What do you think this line is? Chargers on the road at Browns.
I bet it's. Is it a push?
No.
Do they do that at all?
They do. They will do something like where it's even. It is. Chargers are favorite. How much do you think they're favorites by?
1.5.
Oh, you nailed it. I just feel like that's low. The Browns aren't good. Do people think the Browns are good?
They've played everyone tough.
Maybe it's because when they score like 13 points and it's like horrible looking games and the kicker can barely put it over the upright and Hugh Jackson's an embarrassment. They
play everyone tough.
Yeah, I guess. But the Chargers, do you know who their two losses are against?
The Chiefs and...
Think of the other really good team in football.
Oh, the Rams.
Yeah, their two losses are to two teams that haven't lost a game yet.
Oh my.
And they just blew out someone. Who'd they just play? They smoked them.
Oh, was it the Raiders?
Raiders, yeah. So, I mean, you can never really trust the Chargers, but I just feel like talent-wise, they're just so much better than the Browns.
I like how scrappy the Browns are. I'm taking the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking the Chargers.
But like, you understand the line more than I did.
Yeah, like, I understand the line.
And they're home. They do have two wins.
So that would be a 4.5.
They're 2-1.
On a neutral site, that's 4.5 for the Chargers.
Yeah. The Chargers don't need home field. They don't have it ever. They practiced last week by piping in noise. They had a home game. The Chargers had a home game, and during practice, they piped in noise because they were playing the Raiders, who clearly are going to get more fans to LA than the Chargers ever would.
That's unbelievable.
So they literally just play at 16 road games. Some are worse than others, obviously.
And you know the worst thing is that's not going to change
for a very long time. I don't know when it's going to change. I mean, they're going to have to build a following. They better make some runs. What you need is the kids that are being raised right now, the young 13, 14-year-old kids to become Charger fans
live in LA. But it's cool to be a Rams fan, right?
Yeah, it's way cooler to be a Rams fan. Yeah, what kid is it's like being a Mets fan or who picks like the Mets?
It's like being raised to be a Mets fan.
Like you want to be the hip kid, I'm going to be a Mets fan because they don't win. Good luck with that one, buddy.
That's why I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah. The Knicks, it's the only basketball team out there.
They don't win.
Buccaneers at Falcons. Falcons are 3.5-point favorites.
Give me the Falcons.
Yeah, I like the Falcons too here. Again, another one where I feel like things are going to even out. The Bucs, the Bears kind of exposed them, but the Bucs aren't as good as they've had been. Yeah. And the Falcons, I don't think, are as bad as they've been. They're still kind of fucked at this point because you're 1-4 and you have injuries all over the place, but I think they'll at least be competent.
But the Falcons, I think, are good enough where they would have to get hot right now, but they're a team that you can see going 9-2.
Yeah, they could make a run. It's just when you dig yourself a 4-loss hole, that's I'm sure 98% of the time you don't make the playoffs.
All the numbers are against you.
Yeah. But, I mean, I still think they're more talented than the Buccaneers. So, I'll take the Falcons. Next is Rams at Broncos. Rams are a 7-point favorite on the road. Case Keenum Broncos.
The Rams. Dude, they just got spanked in by the Jets. The Broncos did.
Yeah, but they played the Chiefs tough.
They had gas for game. 300 yards on the ground.
Oh, Gurley.
On the ground.
I'm taking the Broncos.
Unbelievable.
I just switched it too. I had Rams earlier. I'm taking the Broncos. Oof. I think they'll cover 7. They're going to lose by 6.
It's a terrible idea.
All right. Well, that's rude. You know, we all have opinions. You don't need to, try to bully me, Next one, Jaguars, 3-point favorites at the Cowboys. You're going to take the Cowboys, right? Dak, the clapper. They call him the clapper.
It's Jason Garrett who's the clapper.
He's the clapper. I think I heard that on a Ringer podcast.
I'm taking the Jags. You said Jaguars are playing on? Yeah, the Jags. Whoever's playing Jason Garrett, I'm taking that team.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jags. The Jags will, I think, murder the Cowboys. I think I might put them in some actual bets. I think I'm going to make one real bet a week. And I think that's one I like a lot.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are just not
good. They're terrible.
No, that's a game.
And the Jags just got spanked by the Chiefs, so they want some revenge.
They're coming off a loss. And the Cowboys, how are the Cowboys going to move the ball? It just makes no sense to me. Right. It's almost a waste to even have Jalen Ramsey on the field.
Yeah.
Who's he going to cover? You should just rest him. You wouldn't want him to get hurt wasting his time covering Allen Hurns,
Yeah. Or Michael Mike Beasley Gallup. Or Cole Beasley.
Yeah. Trash. Ravens at Titans. 2.5-point favorite is the Ravens on the road.
We'll take the on the road, the Titans.
The Titans are home.
Yeah, the Titans.
Yeah, I'm taking the Titans too. I haven't liked this Raven team all year, and they've kind of, I feel like every time I bet against them, they do good, but they did lose that Browns game, which I thought they were going to, so. What's with the Lamar Jackson plays? Talk about that for a second. Those plays are trash.
They are all garbage. If you're going to put Lamar Jackson in, bench Flacco, but he's been playing really good this
year. That's the thing. It's like, I feel like Lamar Jackson's too much of a quarterback to be going, we're going to run these goofy plays with them, because I think you're afraid he's going to get hurt, so then most of the time they just end up calling like stupid, like, plays towards the sideline and stuff. Yeah. Like, the Saints run this stuff with this Taysom Hill fella, but they don't give a shit if he gets hurt. So they can run, like, aggressive plays with him. The Jackson ones just seem like a waste of time. And then you know Flacco's like, oh, great, I can't wait to go to the sideline so you can put this, like,
and like this stupid gadget. Wow.
Alex Smith.
Better than Kirk Cousins. Way just threw a pick Cousins. Six.
Just got...
And it wasn't even, like...
Well, it might not be a pick six.
Couple yards
down to
shy.
The 3-yard line.
Still, it's not like... It was a good play by the defender. It was a bad play by the
right to him.
Washington Redskins quarterback.
Saints are about to be up 40-13 as soon as someone plunges this ball in. How about Kirk Cousins? We wonder if he'd be any better for you.
How about the Redskins and the Indians both getting spanked on Columbus Day?
That's fucked up. Oh, man. You know what? Right here. This guy, so you got the guy streaking downfield, and he's got the two lead blockers out front right here.
Yep.
Here's one, and then I think there's another. There's definitely another one.
There was another one.
Dude, turn around. Yeah. Turn around and block that guy. That's what I loved about Sheldon Richardson. When Joseph caught that ball, Richardson immediately peels off and then just doesn't level him, doesn't crack back block where you're going to get a flag. Just sort of gets in between the guy who was next to Joseph, and then Joseph's just all the way to the end zone.
Off to the races.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that real quick. Linval Joseph, lot more nimble with his feet than I thought he was.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, to 18 miles an hour. You hear what he said about that?
He said he knew he wasn't going to get to 20, but he something about liking it.
He said, yeah, but he said he knew he had to be faster than 17 to get there.
he had another play where he sort of, I think he dropped like into a zone drop. Like they did some weird, zone pressure where he didn't go in and they threw it to the flat. And he was hauling after the running. Like, he didn't catch him, obviously. But
yeah,
like,
but he's a lot faster.
There's definitely, like, a difference between, like, he's not like a Pat Williams. He's not just, like, a bowling ball in there, you know, just, like,
clogging. He's an athletic big man.
He's an athletic big man, yeah. So, yeah, it was impressive. It was an impressive run.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Sheldon Richardson where he just didn't level the guy like an idiot. Adam Thielen did it once, too, on a screen to Diggs.
Yes.
Thielen could have lit a dude up. Instead, he just got him between him, put his, you know.
Because he knew, he's like, I don't have to... I just have to take him out of the play.
Yeah, and it's like, that's what the NFL wants you to do, and it makes sense. Why are you trying to, like, end dudes' careers by, like, blinds? Like last year, Davante Adams got lit up one time.
Yeah.
Like, looked like the guy was going to just completely be end of his... Is that Ben Watson?
Yep.
Oh, darn.
Are they calling a horse collar on that tackle because he grabbed him by the back first?
It's so bad. It's happened to Barr earlier this year where he grabbed him, pulled him, and then let go, and then brought him down. It's like, they flag him for it. It's like, whatever. Next game, Chiefs at Patriots. I think that's Sunday Night Football. Yes. That's a fucking good game.
That's going to be a really fun game.
The Patriots are favored by 3.
They're hot right now.
And basically, they're saying these teams are even.
Yeah.
Well, Patriots, I feel like they're such a different team now that they got Edelman and Josh Gordon.
I'm taking the Patriots.
I also took the Patriots. I think they're the team that could slow down. Belichick's smart. Maybe
and even that slow down,
but can
but
hang with
Brady
them.
Against that defense, now like you're saying,
them.
With his weapons,
yeah.
should be able to beat.
It's like they went from like no weapons to like the perfect setup for what they like to do. You have Gronk. You got Edelman doing those little slot stuff. You can put Hogan back at the outside where he should be. And then you have Josh Gordon to just go deep.
Yeah.
So now like you can really spread the field a lot better.
Did you see that?
Taysom Hill. There's that quarterback play.
Did you see that mashup of... Randy Moss and Josh Gordon.
No.
Side by side.
Where's that? I'm gonna send that to Ben.
It's basically the same route where Brady points and Moss goes, I think it's against the Dolphins, and catches it the same way against two guys.
As the same as Gordon's touchdown he just had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Well, it's like they were missing a guy that could like go get a ball. You know, like Gronk is Gronk, but like he's not going to, like, out-jump people and stuff. He's just bigger than everyone. So
yeah.
And then, like, all the other guys are just, like, these short route runner guys. So
and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, they use him a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they use him the right way. They use him like Musgrave did. Like, yeah, you can come in and get bubble screens.
Who was that? Was that Ben Lieber? I think it was Ben Lieber. But he said it was the, on Patterson's touchdown, it was the greatest route he ever saw Patterson run. And he literally just turns towards Brady.
There's three receivers on the left side, and he just comes running towards Brady or whatever, like for two steps, and they hike it and throw it to him immediately. Yeah. Literally didn't run around. Speaking of Ben Lieber, they showed him on Twitter.
Against Wentz. Was it the Wentz thing?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Linval Joseph runs out of bounds next to him. And Lieber goes to like get a fist bump from Linval. Linval just walked away from him. Really? Just left him hanging. Brutal. That's rough. What were you going to say?
There's one where the play where Carson Wentz, I think he gets pushed out of bounds and he like kind of slides. But Ben Lieber is like right there. And he's got some in his hands and he shoulders and he starts clapping because I don't think he likes Carson Wentz. I think he's like me. I don't think he's a fan of Carson Wentz. He's glad.
All right. Last game. 49ers at the Packers. What do you think the line is here?
Niners at the Packers.
And it's probably the C.J. Beathard line.
It's probably Packers 8.5.
Packers by 10.
Oh. Oh, I'm taking the Packers.
Okay, all right.
Because I feel like on a primetime game against a bad football team, Rodgers is pissed.
I feel like this could go either way. Like, this could be Rodgers is pissed, Rodgers is primetime game, Rodgers is going to light him up, or primetime game, Mike McCarthy falls on his face. The talks of him getting fired like get really intense, and
then he goes to Philadelphia and the Rams and the Patriots, loses both those games, and then he gets fired by Halloween.
If he loses this game, there's a chance he could be fired.
After he loses the next two,
and just right after this. Like, he lost to Detroit, he loses this game. You're 2-3-1. I just always think the Packers are so confident that since they have
Rodgers, they should win games. So hard for me to see the Packers firing McCarthy in season. I think if they do it, he would have to lose to the Niners and then the lose next two games.
Because, yeah, you're almost like if you change coaches midseason, you're almost like throwing that season away. And I don't see them ever really.
Why waste another season of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Well, you're already wasting it. So.
Well,
because that roster they built is.
But I mean, like, why throw in the towel?
Yeah. Why just give up?
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Niners to cover. I just think, you know, why not? 10 points is a lot.
Oh, I'm so disgusted with myself. I've picked the Packers two straight weeks.
I just am not afraid of the Packer team. I'm actually like more like
I just think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is too good that he's gonna I've seen him carry so many bad teams before.
But like last week, did you watch that Lion Packer game? It's just like nobody gets open. Like, he looks frustrated out there. He looks like annoyed with everyone. Like, he's throwing they're all rookies besides Davante Adams running around. I know, like, I don't know if Cobb's coming back. Jimmy Graham is not good anymore.
He's so fat and slow. It's not even
Jimmy funny. Graham? Yeah. He is so washed up. God. He's just a red zone guy now. He's just like
but he can't jump anymore either.
Yeah. So he's just a big dude running around. Like, it's just another, it just looks it could get bad. And then, oh, the great Aaron Jones, they don't even play him. Jamal Williams gets just as many snaps as him. He sucks, too. Like,
Aaron Jones, I saw a stat where he's forced, you know, X amount of missed tackles and so many snaps. And then Jamal Adams is still at, like, single digits. Jones didn't even get a carry in the second half. It's so dumb.
All right, that wraps up the picks. Probably pretty close to wrapping up. We're at an hour 52. We're going for a marathon session. I would like to touch on the rumored trade with the Heat. We're pretty much at the end. But did you like it if it went through? The Richardson, who's the center?
What?
No, it wasn't Whiteside. It was a younger guy. And then a couple. From everything I hear, everyone says that it's probably actually better than what we gave up to get Butler, so I'd be totally fine with it. But sounds like it might fall through because we want like everything.
Someone
said they talked to one of the sources that a source within the Heat, and they said they want the Timberwolves want all of our firstborn. So I don't know. I think Thibs might just be fucking around at this point. But yeah, let's wrap it up. Follow Ryan at his fucking thing, whatever that is.
Grapes 07, follow 10th Puppy, or Darren at 10th Puppy.
Yep, and then Grapes and Gorak
on Twitter and on Facebook.
On the, you know, on the...
maybe we should start making a Snapchat.
Oh, everything, you know. We're going to need Snapchat for the
Patriots weekend.
Patriots, you know, why wouldn't you? Makes sense, you know. Yeah. Is that a thing people do? They Snapchat?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, right. Hopefully. Well, I don't know. Are our listeners hip enough to use Snapchat? I like to think so. All right. Yeah, we're out of here. Thanks, guys.
It's been a pleasure.